Blog Talk Radio. souls to meet its end. Life has only just begun. Hear my people roam the earth in the kingdom of our birth, where the dust of all our horses hides the sun. We are mighty on the earth, on the earth. You have come to move me, take me from my ancient home, land of my fathers, I can't leave you now. We will share it with you, no man on this earth we're on. Now the wheels are rolling.
I was born. Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Sorry about that freakiness at the beginning of the show, but I also want you to everybody to understand that if you think you're hearing a child and you think you might be hearing voices in your head, you're not. It's actually, we're doing this thing, we did this last year, we call it the Roundtable Night, where everybody comes on. It's one of those things of warning everybody ahead of time that we're going to, everybody's mic is open. So therefore you're okay. Hold on. Everybody's mic is open right now because we have a round table. We used to have call it Roundtable Midnight, where everybody gets to voice an opinion. As we're doing readings and that kind of stuff, if you got insight, because everybody's intuitive in some sense of the word. And I just felt like it was one of those things where we could all sit there in like a round table to sit there and go over certain subjects and getting some kind of insights. Hi, how are you? Well, we really have a person here who's got a lot of enthusiasm. Nobody wants to get on the show. So all we want to do is ask who's, you know, the child and the parents if they would just like, I don't know, big piece of tape or something, suggestion. But we're just wanting to sit there and tell everybody your mics are all open so we can all converse and have a nice little discussion. So if you have something you want to talk about, maybe you don't like psychics, just talk about it. If you want to do some readings, we're still doing those too. So give us a call here at 646-721-9031 and get some questions answered. And whatever you might want to sit there and ask about, don't be scared. Just sit there and put it out there and see what happens and see if we can get some insights for you. I'm Psychic X Journeyman. I'm your host. So welcome. For everybody out there, don't hesitate to call in. Don't be fearful. If it is a fear, maybe this is the first fear you should start facing, right, to get that change that you're looking for within your life. So let's see what happens. It's something we haven't done since last summer, so we're going to sit here and try to do this. That's why I moved the show back to midnight. It seems like it's a really good time for everybody. That they seem more verbal, I guess. Anyway, if you want to give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Also, let's look at the switchboard. Okay, Lori, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Somebody's... Yes, I can hear you.
Making sure. Lori and Bell is here.
Lori and Bell, that's what I was going to say. I was going to ask you if Bell was there, so, you know, I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Hello.
But welcome. It's like, hello, everybody, how you doing? So it's like I said before, I know you guys are pretty much doing your little thing there, but if you guys could give us an insight, if you feel like something coming across or something, I don't know, intuitional, go ahead and share it with us. I'd love to hear some insights. And right now, it's kind of funny. Right now, it's actually 12:22.
Yep.
Interesting. So, therefore, if you guys are focusing on something bad, don't.
All your dark go come to the light.
Really?
Like 1, 2, 2, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2.
You know, if you look at the one is to me is like an emphasis on focusing. So, also we got area code 574. You're on the air. 562. You're here. We also have this one number. I think it's a private number. 1111.
That's probably.
And we also have. Okay, like I said, everybody, we're gonna sit here and try to go into this transition of realizing that everybody's on. And everybody has a voice, so we want to hear you if you got something to say. But if you're a person who just wants to sit there and listen, you're more than welcome to do what you feel like you need to do, okay? No pressure on anybody to do anything. Okay? So therefore, intuitional is like this. Seriously, guys, when you sit there and have something within you that you feel like you need to be said and has a voice, it needs to be said. So put it out there. So we also have that's actually 1111. And then we have very code, Mr. 602. Let's get his mic on, too. Let's try this. I'm actually dealing with a different format here on my switchboard. Because for some reason, we can't even pull Block Talk Radio up on my computer. So we're actually talking to you guys live from Skype, which is working fine.
Well, that's
kind of interesting. Huh?
It's neat that we're talking.
So as we go, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down each area code, and we're going to sit there, and everybody's going to introduce themselves if you choose. If
Donnie,
you're a person,
it could be because my computer died before I could log you out.
No,
Did you log
I've been
in at all?
I've been having trouble for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, well, then never mind. It's not me.
Right. Okay, area code 574.
Hello.
What's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley. Okay, we got 910. Okay, that's Lori and Bell. And then we got 562. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
Hi, this is Joan from Artesia, California.
All right.
I'm good. How are you?
I feel like I'm Dick Clark, you know, it's like American Bandstand. Well, hold on. We'll answer your question. I promise you. I'm just introducing everybody because it's we're doing this roundtable night where everybody is on, and we just want to introduce everybody. So when they feel like they want to say something, we already know who they are. Area code 602. How are you, and what's your name?
My name is Richard. I'm from Phoenix.
Okay, Richard. Do you want to be on with us, or do you just want to listen?
No, I'll be on.
Okay. And we also got this, I think it's a private number, 11111.
You think it's me? I think my number's blocked.
And who are you?
It's Janine.
That's just had a little different. Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
What's your name?
My name.
No, I'm good. You've been on before, haven't you?
Never.
God, your voice sounds familiar.
Of course, because
yeah,
we talked
blocked,
before, but
like
not on your show.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Oh, I know who you are.
Yes. I'm a reader.
I work with you. Okay, sorry,
I
forgot that. I'm sitting going,
sounds familiar. I'm skinny, that's why. But my name is Janine.
Okay, so she's skinny, she's standing sideways, so I missed her, sorry. So everybody, welcome to the show. My name is Psychic Extreme, but hey, my friends call me Donnie, so let's look at that format. We're all friends here, so therefore call me Donnie. And right now it's, again, Lori, I got 1226. Interesting. Okay, well, let's sit here and look at the situation. We had the lady from California who spoke up real quickly about asking a question, so she already has a question there. So if there's any other readers in the room who want to throw out there and you have some insights to her question, please do so. If you don't, we'll send you a check in the mail, and then maybe next week you can do that. But
okay.
We're just kidding. But just, you know, we're just saying that the reason I like doing this is because it gives people, not just one or two people sometimes, but last summer we actually had like four or five psychics on the show at the time. We had some pretty intense conversations too, and we even had spirits visit us one show too, where you could actually hear them throughout the microphone. People were picking things up, so it's some interesting show. So we decided to start doing it again on Sunday to see what happens. Because it was actually pretty successful last year. And plus, actually, a couple of days ago, and actually, I think yesterday, someone actually asked me what happened to that show. So, by popular demand, we're going to start doing it again on Sunday. So, there we go. So, you all know all about it. So, Mrs. California, I hate to say it that way, but I can't. I got like six names in my head, and for some reason, I can't remember yours.
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you for giving me the floor. Yeah, I've called you because I want to join the roundtable. But I do have a concern also because I want to see some changes in my life this year, especially in career and finances, because
uh-huh.
I've been like off and on the job. It's healthcare consulting. I like what I do, but I think I'm looking at something in training and development, and I want to join a healthcare company on a full-time basis. So I want to know if you see me getting into this, or if there's something else that is in store for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So does anybody else have any kind of insights right off the bat first that they want to throw out there? Okay. Wow. I wish I had some crickets. Now, the one thing I get the most with you said it was a healthcare company that you want to work for?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. The thing I got with that whole situation was something very positive. It's just the ideal that the one thing I sit there and stress with readings and stuff is like I can see stuff. and I can really pick up on the whole thing. But I've also noticed that with people who really don't believe it within their heart, it's when they're the ones that come back and say, well, it didn't happen. But see, they already pretty much put the energy out there. It wasn't going to happen anyway. And that created a block, which kept it from happening. So the one thing I see with the situation is the idea of you wanting to change a lot of things in your life this year. But it seems like the first thing you need to focus on is you. It seems like you keep focusing, not all the time, but it seems like there's a lot of focus on out there, not within you.
Okay.
What's very important with the situation is very intense. That you have, see, the one thing that people have to understand, once there's one thing in the Bible. It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love yourself as you love your neighbor. See, the common denominator here, it always goes back to self. As long as you can focus on it in a non-selfish way, or even a productive selfish way, I guess you could say too. But it's one of those things of working with you. When you start looking out there and you start seeing lack, it's a reflection back to you that you have some lacks within yourself or the lack of faith. So it's the idea of go back within yourself and rediscover who you are. And I always feel like some people go back and find that out too, where they start realizing they always knew themselves. It's just in the course of life itself, of focusing too much on worldly crap, we start being more worldly, so we start getting away from ourselves.
There was a quote in my
focus,
class.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And it was, as we change, we don't really, as we grow older, we don't change. We just become more of who we already are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, when we. Go ahead.
Yeah. I really want to go back to training because that's really my passion. And if
mm-hmm.
I were to imagine myself like in my best self, I see myself as talking in front of a lot of people, and that's what I want to do.
Okay.
And I've been trying to find people to connect me to the company I want to work
mm-hmm.
for. It's been 3 weeks, say almost a month, and I want to work for this company, and that particular job, because it's training, I've also been studying the subject and, preparing myself for the interview. But up to this time, I have heard from them, but I'm not for an interview yet. So
mm-hmm.
what I want to know is if this is really for me, but then if you see something else, I also want to know, so that I know where to focus my energy on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I understand what you said. I really feel like that. See, the one thing that came to me most was the guidance and asking, and then trying to help people understand the answers that come through. Okay, is the idea what you need to focus on, and the direction that you're talking about. That's great. You do the research. I'm not saying that's not an important thing to do, but it's a combination of a lot of things. As I was saying before, is the idea of focusing on you. The idea to get the results you're looking for with all these situations that you're talking about starts within yourself, of asking yourself exactly what do you want. Because when I sit here and say, don't go looking out there for the answers, I'm out there. Well, not literally, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm saying, you're looking for me for the answer when the answer is really inside you of where you really want to go with this whole thing. And when I sit here and focus on it, I will say one thing. This company that you're talking about, you really want to work for them. You really want to do that. You want
yeah.
to explore that whole thing. I feel like you should explore that because in the process of the situation, I think it's so important for you to understand, to work on yourself, because in the process of taking that path of working for that company, you're also going to discover a lot of things about yourself. And the idea, like you said, I see myself talking in front of a lot of people, but you're still trying to control the outcome instead of just focusing on the outcome. There is a difference. You know, the idea of letting
yeah.
it happen and letting it go and
you're
detaching
right.
yourself from it, it's very important. But you're sitting there saying, I see myself speaking in front of a lot of people, and then you put in the blank. You put something in the blank. You fill it. You fill that spot in with what you think it should be. So see, you're diverting it, and it might actually keep the manifestation that's supposed to happen. So go with the first part. It says, I see myself speaking in front of people, and just let the universe, God, who you know, whatever you believe in, let it go and understand that they're actually creating something here for you, which is in your best interest. I would agree with you with the idea of speaking in front of a lot of people. But I also feel like in the situation of discovering who you are with this, working for this company, it's going to be a situation that takes you out the way you're talking about your passions, not trying to impress people. So no. there's a different little glitch here in your visualization of where you're just like, whoa, I want to speak in front of people, but I want to do it with this company, when that might conflict the whole thing, because I don't feel like they're one and the same. I feel like you're going to be speaking in front of people. I feel like you're going to be working for this company. I just don't feel like they're going to be the same as your vision that you saw. I feel like the vision is more of something that you're going to do yourself in the situation of actually more of a teaching thing, of helping other people mm-hmm. with what you've discovered with yourself. Well, we've got all kinds of people coming through tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm the one putting the block.
Mm-hmm.
On what
yeah,
could
because
happen.
You have these situations that you're attaching yourself to. Because you're uh-huh. looking for, because when we sit here and say focus on the outcome, we're not saying grasp it, embrace it as in, you know, strangling it. We're saying, you know, embrace that thought. But let it happen and unfold the way it's supposed to. Like we were talking before, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to people where they have a tendency where they're growing roses and they want the rose. They want to experience the rose right now. So they have a tendency to push things in the process of killing the whole thing. So therefore, uh-huh. they didn't just kill the rose and the rose bush. They also killed the experience.
Uh-huh.
They're both yeah. equally important.
I guess my insight here is holding on too much to it. Like mm-hmm. wanting it too much and not letting go of the idea that I just let it go and it's just gonna happen if mm-hmm. it's really for me.
Yeah, they helped you out, sweetie. I pulled a card for you. It was actually enchantment, and this card actually says recapture your childlike sense of wonder and awe and view the world as a magical place, which I get the impression what that means really. Is just let yourself go and realize that the world always has a tendency to unfold in your best interest. We always get fearful that it won't. That's the fear. And the only way you can really face that fear is to say, I'm not going to let that fear control this anymore. I know what I want. But you have to take yourself out of that state of wanting to the point saying, what I do anyway, okay, this is what I want. Okay, I know that. But what would happen if it happened right now? I would love the experience. So we're putting that energy in there, that love, that raises the vibration. So therefore, how do you really create a really higher vibration within yourself? Is the idea of loving yourself. And when you have these certain fears, to me, fear is like a lack of confidence in yourself. And I think that's why they're pushing the idea of going back within yourself. Because let's realize one thing about spirituality. Spirituality, okay?
You're right.
It's a progressive thing. It's not something you take a 6-month course and you're good. It's a continuous thing throughout your life of experiences and life itself. And when you start learning how to actually experience the moment, you actually create more happier moments in the future that you're going to experience by experiencing this one right now, to realize that this is the only one that exists. There is no future. There is no front. There is no past. Just right now. And when you can live in the now, those visualizations that you have, that's why we say focus on the outcome, and then after you get that focus on the outcome and feel it and say, okay, this is what I would feel if it happened right now. So therefore, if I experience this moment, I'll be experiencing that moment too.
Very insightful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Kind of gave me shivers. Anyway. So does anybody else have any insights for our friend here from California?
I think she covered it. You know, she just was putting a limitation on her goal, and you know, by her taking a class in the field that her choice, it may open up to something else. And just her being closed-minded to the one company that she wants to work for, Spirit may decide, you know, it's supposed to be something else for something better for her that she just doesn't know right now, but she'll know when it happens.
Right.
True.
That makes sense to me.
True. Yeah. Thank you.
Whew. All right, guys, I just lost my helmet. Where am I? This is getting a little crazy right now because we actually had to hook up a, what do you call those things? A router. So we could actually use some other things in the idea of actually purchasing a laptop here. We could actually use the internet. I'm just having a tough time because we've run out of plugs. It's pretty bad when we have the strip too, and it's all full too. Anyway, I know. So we have one insight. So, but everybody else is okay, right? I just want to make sure everybody that if you wanted maybe voice opinion got it out there. If not, well, this is to look at the situation and go on to, as we're all sitting here talking, anybody? Okay, we had a question from California. Now, anybody else have a question that they would like for us to actually examine and take a look at and answer for you? Just throw it out there. Is the child still there? I think they had a question, didn't they? Hello.
Well, Donnie, I was trying to speak with you earlier, and you told me I could tune into your show, which here I am. Hello.
Yeah.
But I was only going to ask about my situation isn't like, oh, wow, I want to start this job or anything like that. It's just a matter of knowing that something is going to happen and the wait. And I remember reading something about the law of attraction that says as long as you feel like you are waiting, you will continue to wait.
Yes.
So to act as if it has already happened or to believe, accept, envision, be thankful for, to act as if brings that manifestation into the reality. Well, my whole thing is it's been months and months and months that my husband is in and out, and it's like, okay, I see him home for Christmas. He wasn't. I see him home for New Year's. He wasn't. Our anniversary is almost here. I'm hoping he'll be with me, but I don't want to hope it. I want to know it. So if I'm thankful, oh, yes, I'm so grateful he's here with me, but he's really not. So I'm having a hard time with my wait because it seems like I'm just infinitely waiting for that final, okay, he's with me now. We're reconciled fully. It's not half in, half out. He doesn't come and then stay a little while and then go again. And that's my situation. When is it going to come back fully together? And then throwing in the mix, now I got to move, and it's like, oh, my gosh. Is he going to come with me? Will he be home before I have to move? Are we going to have our anniversary on Valentine's Day? I'm just, and I can't be mellow and say, oh, I'm grateful for what is. He is with me. He is home. We are together. I can't. I don't have that ability to kid myself like that. I'm too real for my own good sometimes. I can't be, you know. It hasn't happened yet, so how can I do my manifestation? Law of Attraction says you bring what you have. You know what I have? Waiting. I'm just waiting.
Let's all tell Jen to take a deep breath. Relax, calm.
Are you kidding me?
I heard somebody. No. Yes, so, I'm not kidding you. I tell this to everybody. You can ask Lori. I'm always telling people, take a deep breath, at least three, and you'll be okay.
Well, no, I don't know how to relax. That's the problem. I don't relax. I'm very high energy.
Okay. Yeah, and see, one thing that we want to interject here is, you know, the law of attraction is wonderful, and we're living in a time in 2012, especially with this new vibration about us, that our manifestations can be instantaneous. But what we have to remember is when we're seeking this law of attraction that involves another individual, we have to take into account their own free will. And so that's what makes it difficult with the visionary for you is that you know what your desires are and that we have to leave him the freedom to make this choice himself.
Right. I get it. The thing is, I'm like this. I know he's going to be back. I know I know he loves me. I know he doesn't
agree. Is it because you keep pulling him back?
Excuse me?
I agree with you. I totally agree. I think he is going to be back. But you're dealing with one stubborn fella.
Well, he's troubled, and the thing is, he thinks he's doing me a favor by staying away.
Exactly.
I mean, let me share a small, very small, Donnie, if I'm allowed to, just a little tiny story.
Hey, it's a talk show. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Today is my son's 21st birthday. His brother was here, along with the wife, so that's my daughter-in-law. My daughter was here, my son was here, and my husband was here. He had come last night. when we were, and I would get a reading now. When we would have cake, my husband excused himself to outside. So I walked outside to the front porch and I said, "Honey, what are you doing? Aren't you going to have cake?" And he says to me, "Well, he only wants his family there. He doesn't want me there." And I looked at him, and I'm getting, like, choked up. And I said, "But your family?" He goes, "Only by paper." And I said, "No." And he said, "I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to be polite and respectful." And I said, "Then come in and have cake." And he came back in, and I looked at my son, and I said, "You can cut Nick a piece, too," because he had walked out, like, just, you know, excused himself. And then he sat down and had cake. He thought he shouldn't stick himself there because he feels so bad about the position that we're in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he loves me. He loves my daughter. He loves my other son is his best friend. But the problem is, as long as he's troubled with the things that he's going through, he doesn't want to return because the last time I asked him to come home, I said, "Honey, why don't you just come home?" He says to me, "I can't." I said, "Why?" "I'm busy." But he's not really busy. It's not that he's busy. It's that he's not fixed. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, I totally understand. And what I would suggest is while you're exercising the law of attraction and being thankful, be thankful for the healing that's taking place for him.
Yep.
You know, yes, it's wonderful to be thankful that the two of you are back together again, and that's realizing, you know, what we know is going to be true. But let's start focusing on his healing, helping him to heal. Because, you know, as we're shifting, you know, we're unloading baggage. And unfortunately, he's stuck. And he's stuck almost as if I want to say back 2 years ago. So I don't know if this incident happened 2 years ago or if this is something that stemmed over the last 2 years. But I feel like every time I've tapped into his energy, I'm going back to 2009, 2010.
Okay, he technically left the house November, not this one that just passed, the one before. And he's been back always every 2 weeks. But in between times, sometimes he'll be here for 2 days, 3 days, 6 days. Once he was here for two whole weeks. And every time he comes, when he's here, he's home. And
right.
Then whether he stays one night or three, it's like then he goes again. And sometimes when he's here multiple days, like five or six, I feel like he moved back home. This is it. He's home. But then he goes again. And when he stayed the 2 weeks, nobody thought he was leaving. His father came to see him here. His sister came to see him here. It was like, wow, okay, he's back. And then he left again. So it, love isn't the question. It's not like that.
Right. It's
and
there.
Cheating. The man is gone. This is a drop-dead, gorgeous, hot Greek-Italian man. Women are like, bleh, to him. He doesn't want anybody else. He's not like that. But how is he going to get fixed if he's not getting help? So now he's in court-ordered DUI help because he got a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
So now he has to go to classes. But they're classes. It's not like it's AA. So that's not really going to – so, I mean
– I hate to say this, but
– you know, I'm just like, wow. To me it sounds like – I mean, and I'm not doubting his love for her or anything like that, but I started to say earlier – you say he comes back, this and that. Is that because you're pulling him back? Or, you know, he comes back because you allow him to? You're not setting anything down. You know, look, if I'm not going to have this commitment from you, if you're not going to stay this time, you need not come back. You can't allow him, love him or not, to bounce in and out of your life. It's not fair for you. It's not fair for the children. It's not fair for him. I mean, he's able to just do. Sounds like he can come and go as he pleases because you love him. Just because I tell, you know, somebody who I'm in a relationship with, just because that you say you love me or I say I love you, that does not give you all access granted to treat me any way that you want to. You can't. You still have to have a level of respect.
Boundaries. Amen, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's
it's like there was a quote that said, "Don't teach the pig to sing. It just annoys the pig and wastes your time." Like.
Okay, let's look at the situation. I want to sit here and put a perspective out here, too, of the idea of wasting time. There is no such thing. Everything happens for a reason. Everything is a learning lesson. Everything's a learning experience. So we look at the situation. We know for a fact that she's actually allowing this to happen. So the idea of changing this whole situation lies with her.
Yep.
Of what she
she's
wants.
Enabling him to do this. And people only treat you the way you allow them to treat you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But,
I don't feel like he's in relationships and wondering why won't he do this and do that. That's true, too. But see, the expectations here is the idea of realizing we're talking about an individual who is who he is. So the idea of the expectations are our expectations, not his. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he is diagnosed as alcoholic, he is diagnosed as chemically dependent, and he is diagnosed as bipolar. So I know he gives as much as he can. I know that in his mind, it's better for me if he's not here all the time. He knows I miss him, but he would rather keep the bad part away from me than make me suffer through it with him. And when he's at his lowest, when he's, then he needs me and he wants me there, and it's like he knows that I'm the support person. So it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm just having a problem waiting it out, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like when this next wave that he's in, when he comes around again, because it's kind of up and then it's down. And I know that's how it is. I mean, I went to classes just to understand what's going on with him. But without medication, you know, he's self-medicating, and that's all that's going on. And I'm completely aware of my situation, what and why and all that. The waiting is killing me. This is it. It's like, when will the next step occur? When is that change going to happen? And when he's here, he's totally here. My daughter says, don't worry, Mom, he's going to stay home. And then he goes again, and it's like, you know, you would never know that he even left when he's here. And everything feels good, and then he goes.
I have a question for you, sweetheart.
Yes, dear.
Is he on any prescription medication?
No, not now. Was he?
Was
yes.
he?
Once. And they overdosed him, and ever since then, he doesn't trust the doctors. A couple months went by. We went again to a different place. They told him 3 visits before you get meds. On the first visit, he was such a wheeler, dealer, charmer, he talked them into the meds first visit. Walks in the house, throws the medicine on the table. He says to me, look at this, another set of quacks. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, I shouldn't have been able to talk them into that. If they say I should come 3 times, they should have made me come 3 times. They gave in. I shouldn't have been able to connive them. They're quacks. I'm not taking that. So he doesn't trust. But see, he had reason not to trust. I mean, I understand him. We went to the psychiatrist that overdosed him the first time. He almost jumped across the desk. He said, look, I need help. Give me the same medicine my sister takes. Can I have lithium? Help me. And the guy said, the doctor, until you have a regular sleep schedule, there's not much I can do, and walked away. I mean, I understand where he's coming from with the treatment thing. Now, his mother said a couple months ago, oh, he thinks he's ready to get some help, but he doesn't want it to be public. Well, that's great, but is she going to help him pay for it? We don't have insurance, can't afford it, that's expensive, you know. That kind of treatment, when you have a psychiatrist and you have medication and all that, and it's ongoing because they have to monitor your blood and blah, 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 and I know. So yeah. I'm here for him, and he knows I love him, and he has said to me many times, should have divorced me when you had the chance. Loving me is a bad idea. I'm just a piece. I'm an a-hole. And he feels bad, but I love him, and I'm willing to support his, I understand he's got issues. I'm just having a hard time waiting for him to come home. I'm not looking forward to anniversary number 4 that I'm not even going to spend with him. You know, I hope that he's here by then. That's Valentine's Day. We got married on Valentine's Day. We got engaged on Christmas Eve. This is a romantic, loving, oh, my God, man. When he excused himself today from birthday cake, my heart was broken when I walked out there in the face on him. And when I said, you want to do the right thing? You want to be appropriate? You want to be polite? Because he said, I'm just trying to do the right thing and be respectful. And I said, then come inside and have that piece of cake. You know what he did? He got up and he walked inside, took his coat off, came over to the table and sat down. Now I'm going to cry. And he had a piece of cake. It's like he didn't even feel worthy to have cake.
And do this together. You know, the one thing I have. That is very true. Question I have, if he wants to do the right thing and be respectful, don't you think the respectful thing for you would be for him to stay and trust that you can get through this together rather than walk away and think he can do it alone and just leave you there wondering?
Okay. First of all, I don't think that he thinks he's doing anything other than he thinks he can get himself straight. And now he found out with the probation that he got for that drunk ticket, he's not supposed to drink or do drugs or anything. And he told me 2 weeks ago he's not doing any kind of drugs anymore. But he got arrested for public drunkenness the following week. So alcohol's a drug, but I'm just saying he's not doing any, like, smoking. So now he's drinking even though he's not supposed to. And he saw his probation officer and they said, you can't be drinking while you're on probation, and he got the public drunkenness ticket, and it's like, oh, God, you know, now he's still, whatever, trying to be upstanding, and it's not that he doesn't think that I won't support him if he's here, you know, in his recovering, but he doesn't think that I deserve to be disrespected, and when he gets angry at himself for being less than, because he thinks
that's
he needs to be
denial.
A perfect husband,
then,
right, exactly.
That's not recovery, that's, you know.
Uh-huh.
As long as you keep letting him come back and forth like that, you're enabling him. I was married to an alcoholic for 17 years. I know the reason.
So was I. My first husband was an alcoholic, and I was married to him for 17 years. And I was, and I've been in Al-Anon since 2000.
Yeah, let's look up 17.
Yeah, so you've got
you just hit the key right there, because you're married 17 years to the alcoholic, right? So then now you find yourself in the same situation. So then what's the most
They're totally different people. As a matter of fact, I didn't know my husband had a drinking problem until after he left the house.
Sweetheart, hold on. Let me finish.
Right.
Okay. It's my father. Growing up was an alcoholic. All right. I swore to God I would never end up like my mother. 17 years into my marriage, I had a friend come to me. It's like, what are you doing? And then when I stopped and they helped me reflect, step back and reflect at my own life, I realized I was my mother. I was fighting hard as can be to not be my mother, and I turned into her. Because why? It was the inner child in me that was damaged from all the stuff I went through. So there's something within you that's attracting that sort of same scenario. The man may be totally different, but you have the same scenario with the alcoholism. It's related, and it's something from within you that's accepting that.
Well, I think it's because I know he has the other diagnosis. Because I did inner child work for a year, and when we first got married, the first 3 years, there was no sign he even had a problem. No clue. It only came out since he was gone.
I understand that, but what I'm trying to get at, it goes deeper than that. Trust me, what I'm talking about is I've been through a lot of self-healing and digging deeper to find out why I was attracting people like that. And it's not always easy, but you got to stop and step back and seriously look within yourself to fight and start asking the question. All you have to do is start asking the question. The guidance will come to you. If you pray about it and you ask for the answers, it will be given to you. What is it that is within you, allowing you to settle for that behavior?
Yeah,
because that's what you're doing.
I was saying the same thing. He's reflecting something back to you about yourself.
So you got to realize, you got to go and figure out what it is within you so you can heal it and it will stop. But if you don't do that, it's just going to keep continuing.
To what are you referring? What will keep continuing?
The same situation.
Him leaving and coming.
That you're going through right now.
Yeah, it's the idea. What reaffirm more what you were doing with the incident with the cake. You know, expressing, because he's got this thing. He's got this opinion in his head what he thinks is right, and you have a different way of looking at it. And it's the idea of expressing that, of being supportive but not allowing yourself to fall into an enabler, which is easy to do sometimes in situations like this. Because realistically, relationships were never meant to have. And we're counselors and therapists to our spouses. We were supposed to be there to actually share these things and be supportive. We can't do both. And we can understand it, but at the same time, I'm just looking at the situation, too, of I've had instances of being with girls who have drug problems and that kind of thing, which is basically the same thing. But it was the idea. I noticed one thing. They kept on emphasizing on a lot of stuff about it's a disease and all this other stuff, and I'm sitting here going, we don't need to emphasize.
Mom's going to help him pay for it, she said. I'm like, it's a grown man. Why does his mother have to help him pay for something that he's choosing, or not choosing like that, because alcoholism, I do recognize that as a disease, but at the same time, where's his personal responsibility for his problem?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, look at the situation. Talked about the idea of the way we think. The way we perceive things, the ideal that doctors have put a title on something, and then we go with it. So therefore, we say we don't trust the doctor, but when he says disease, all of a sudden we go, okay.
Right.
To actually have a way of figuring this thing out, when actually we sit there and look at the situation very clearly, it's not about the freaking disease itself. It's about the person inside who wants to do certain things, who wants to look at one incident with that little title on it to actually be governing his life. I have a problem with AA because AA is an enabler. I don't care what anybody – I've actually been in those classes. I've experienced those classes. I've gone through them just for the research. And every time you're in those classes, all they do is talk about their disease. All they do is reinfer over and over and over again to the point where you're like, I got to get out of here. And if you say anything – it's like we have people who host these meetings. We have people who host these meetings who sit there and say, if you disagree with them, oh, they're very opinionated, and say, well, I was in a meeting once, and I was sitting there talking about an ex-fiance that I was really focusing on being with, and this lady looked at me, and she goes, I was sitting there describing what I was focusing on, how I was feeling. All of a sudden, she just looked at me, and she goes, so you think you got it all down, don't you? And I looked at her real stern and said, yes, I do. And I said, the reason I'm here is to hear and to see if this was a good format for me to keep even going down that road. I have not abused drugs or alcohol. And I thought this might be a good format to actually put me in a situation where I wouldn't. And now I'm starting to think I want to go out and have a drink. So this is not working for me. It's working against me. So AA might have been a good thing in the future, I mean, in the past, where it was a good ideal. But now it's taken on this format where it's like all they're doing is enabling people to do the same thing. You're going to be an alcoholic for the rest of your life. You know, if I had cancer, I wouldn't sit there and say, I'm going to have cancer for the rest of my life. I would sit there and use that as motivation and a leverage to actually create a perfect, healthy body. It's what I would do. I got an example of what an unhealthy body looks like. So therefore, let's focus on the other side of the realm and say, okay, there is two sides to this situation. Which side do I want to live? Do I want to keep saying I have a problem? I have a disease that will never be a cure for? Because we know for a fact in the process of spirituality, everything out there has a cure. It's called going within ourselves to realize that nothing's impossible. Everything can be changed in a matter of minutes if we let down the resistance to allow it to have it and believe it in our hearts beyond a shadow of a doubt. So with the situation that you got going on here, is the ideal that the time that you two are not together, whatever he's doing and whatever's going on, none of your business. What is your business is to focus on you and to sit there and make yourself the strongest person you in. So when he comes to your house, when you don't feel like he should be running away, it's the idea of having the strength to say so. When he's insulting or disrespectful, say it, and then let him react the way he wants to. And what are you going to do? I'm just saying the ideal of these things really need to be voiced to the point where they need to be voiced constantly with the situation of a person who has a perception of thinking one thing, and you need something to replace that with. And the community, as in these therapists and doctors and all, they're not helping.
Well, forever and a day, he has not been disrespectful or insulting. What happens is when his own inner dialogue kicks in and he starts to feel the negativity, he doesn't want to do that. So he leaves. He like nips it in the bud, so to speak. The one time he said to me, I got to go. He just said it like that. And I looked at him and I'm like, what's the matter? And he said, every little thing is starting to bother me. It's all getting on my nerves, and there was nothing happening, nothing. And he said, and you're not going to get the respect you deserve. I just need to go drink. And he left. And I was like, wow. You know, he was at his end, and he needed to walk out the door, and he did. That was after being here for 2 weeks. He wants to do the right thing, but he feels incapable. He has high expectations of himself as a husband, and I don't know what else I can say for him. I've been through inner child work. I go to Al-Anon for 12 years now. My ex-husband was an alcoholic that was abusive and got away from that by him leaving, not by me leaving, because I take marriage very seriously. I don't think that this man is abusing me in any way. I think that he's troubled.
No,
he doesn't know how
that.
To get his head straight, and he doesn't want to hurt me.
We're not saying that. What I'm saying is when I sit there and say disrespectful, see, we have to realize one thing. I've told this to Lori a couple of times, too, and the idea of reactions. People sometimes say they're not reacting. They're trying to be nice and they're kind of things. That's when you really need to go back within yourself and ask yourself exactly what you are really doing. Because a reaction is a reaction. It doesn't mean it's positive or negative. Reaction is a reaction. When you look at the situation and when we talk about enabling him, it's the idea of making excuses for why he doesn't follow through with what he thinks he feels he should follow through in the first place. So when you sit there and basically justify it, then the movement stops on his part. I mean, okay, great, he goes to the doctor and he found about these quacks, but when we sit and look at the situation and what he's really looking for, it's the same thing that we're asking you to do too as well, which is to go back and work, go back within yourself. And that's where the healing's going to happen anyway. And it seems like with situations with what you've been through, it seems like there's still some attachments there too and some cores that need to be cut, that he's reflecting back to you as well of certain things that you have happened in your life. And maybe you thought you dealt with them, but it seems like in the past, some of those things seem like they're still with you in some sense of the word of justification. Because even with your husband, the first husband that you said was abusive, there still seemed like there was still accountability in those situations that you were making excuses for too as well. And it seemed like it's kind of following through with this one. And it's just the ideal. Don't get defensive about everything and that kind of thing. Just look at the situation. Information is coming from all different directions and that kind of stuff. So it's the idea. Just take it in. Focus, you know, honor it and see where it takes you at. Because we're looking at the situation right now because what you're doing right now doesn't seem to be giving you what you really want to do, where you want things to fold and happen. It seems like you want your husband there 24/7, and it's the ideal saying he needs to be there 24/7. Yes, he's a stubborn guy, but there's also ways of dealing with the situation because you are too. You're stubborn in your convictions of what you feel like you should do with the situation. So you can definitely see like attracts like, and it's a good thing. But one thing I'm really getting stressful about, I mean stressful, really intense with the situation is because the cards I pulled up for you was the idea of music and freedom. I got that with him. I feel like there was a very strong connection there too. But also the middle card I got was the idea of the situation of victory. They're talking about your prayers have been heard, they've been answered. But see, your expectations is you have a time frame that you're imposing upon this, and the universe is saying, no, what you need to do to make this thing happen as quick as you want to is to let down your resistance like you haven't even made any quest. Like, okay, I already know it's going to happen, so why should I even think about it?
That's what I'm trying to do. That's where I'm trying to be.
But you're still focusing. You're focusing on both sides of the equation. So the
yeah,
universe
at the same
is like,
time.
Yeah, what, it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want this one or you want that one? You know, we got to meet somewhere in the middle. What do you want? So I sit here and look to the situation a bit closer, and it says you need to focus on friendship here really strongly with the situation of helping him understand it. Like you said before at the birthday party, the right thing to do in this situation is to really kick in and come on in. We're all family.
That poor guy. See, the other part is because I have had so many friends with any kind of mental illness, I did not know that he had any diagnosis. He didn't appear alcoholic or chemically dependent, and he didn't appear to have any mental issue at all for the beginning of our relationship. The alcoholism only came out last year. So for 3 years, I didn't – and maybe that's when it came to the point where it is a problem because he never drove drunk. He would never – he was not – troubled, and because I already had the experience of being with someone for so long that had those problems, and in between there, because we had been separated 7 times before the 8th time, which was our divorce, the other relationships that I had, when I saw the uh-oh, I saw the uh-oh. This man didn't show me an uh-oh at all, you know, red flag. There was nothing.
Uh-oh.
But for him to be here with this birthday, and when I saw the face, this is what my heart is out, because he felt unworthy to be here for the cake, because he knows he's not here. He loves my sons. He loves my daughter. He loves me. And he's like, he thinks he's just a piece of crap, and he's a jerk, and, oh,
well,
he doesn't want me
there. Well, that's right
there
he has is with just accepting himself, and he's going to keep having this problem. When I got married, I didn't know I was married an alcoholic either. I thought he was the greatest man ever till I married him and moved him into my house, and then within a few months, I mean, over the years, it kept getting worse and getting worse. And then it got to the point where here I got 2 boys by him and a 3rd one of my own. And, you know, I truly believed in marriage, and I can't divorce him because this is what I did. And I'm going to do the best I can not to get divorced. And so I allowed him to be who he was and accept it, which I was denying myself by doing that, my own happiness.
Got you.
And taking down and going against all my beliefs for what I truly deserved, to accept it because of the fact why I married him. And yes, he was a good man, but you know, there's a lot of things that was faulty about it too that I just kind of ignored because I thought it was the right thing to do. Because I too, like you said, I'm very passionate about marriage, and but you know, God doesn't intend for us to be married and be unhappy in that aspect.
Right. And I have been the happiest I've ever been in my whole life with this man. This was the relationship that was like, oh, my God, this is somebody that's so in tune with me and makes me so happy. And we had everything going for us. And when he lost his job and then he lost his side work, he felt this is what occurred for him. Now I'm not a man. I'm not the proper husband. I'm not giving her what she deserves. I'm a piece of crap. And he left because it was like his self-esteem was crushed. And the problem is that he thinks that he's inherently damaged and that it can't be fixed because his father, who's screwed up even more than him, has him convinced that you can't be fixed by therapy, that no talk will help you. You got to fix yourself.
Well,
the only way you can be fixed is to fix yourself. So nobody can help you see things or talk you through things. There's no support. The world isn't like that. Doctors, therapists, there's nobody out there. You got to do it yourself. So here he thinks, wow, I'm so messed up, and he has to fix it by himself. So the father has him convinced that going to a therapist or a counselor or anything like that will not work because it didn't work for him.
Yes,
so he thinks he's broken and he can't be fixed.
Okay. I want you to do me a favor and look at the words you just said and the idea of emphasizing to us. Of looking at those things and asking yourself, can I actually take those words and actually formulate this whole thing where it actually gets my point across without actually using those knife-piercing words that you've been using since you've been talking to us.
Okay,
that's
tell
actually, me. I'm just saying that you're sending it out to the universe. You can see the daggers hitting the freaking wall. Boom, 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 boom. This is just the way it is. So you can see the ideal reflection here. What I was saying before with the situation of trying to help somebody realize that the way he's been raised and those perceptions,
yeah,
it's like trying to have some kind of emphasis with the situation of saying to yourself, okay, we know what you just said, but it's the idea of trying to get ourselves into a position where we don't say those words anymore, and we actually start working on the solution on the other side of the thing and say, okay, what can I do? Well, focus on how you want the situation and then forget the other. It's the idea of realizing that in the situation and what we just talked about, it's all past stuff. The past doesn't exist anymore. They're just shadows of things that we keep within ourselves that we think if we don't.
Well, that was a nice thing for you to say. I like that. I did Ho'oponopono 3 times already in a big long session with a reverend. Oh, I forgot his name. God, forgive me for that.
You've got to say something. Come on, man. Give that guy a promo here. You can say, hello, this guy was great. He's fantastic. He helped you out.
Yes, but I can't remember his name.
But also realize
Mark
one thing
something.
Too, sweetie. With the situation, what you just went through, somebody gave you some good advice, but it wasn't. But you needed to take the ball and run with it. And for it to even work. So it's the idea, how can you do that same thing that someone just did for you and do it for your husband, right? And the idea of not being an enabler but actually being motivational to actually see that he is worthy no matter what happens in his life. It doesn't matter if he has a job, you, anything. He is still who he is. He's still a gift to the world, and he always was. It's his perceptions of who he thinks he is.
But how am I supposed to help him alter his own perception? I don't see how I could do that. You can't change another person. They have to change themselves.
Well,
exactly.
That's true, sweetie, but that doesn't mean you can't go out and seek the answer, because in the process of seeking these answers, you're also finding out things about yourself that you didn't know, that maybe some things you need to let go to as well. In the process of going through that process, you help him out. See, one thing about the situation, there's nothing you can do for him except for one thing. Work on yourself so therefore he sees a different reflection.
Aww.
We can sort of look at this thing and go, okay, he feels unworthy. I'm making him feel unworthy? No. But you're feeling unworthy because you can't help him. So he sees that reflection. So what you need to do is the stronger you, that's the thing that will bring him back into your household. Strength. You being strong. So, okay, I don't know how to do this. Then what your job is to go within yourself to find the barriers that keeps you from thinking that you're a good person too as well and start saying, no, I'm not. I can't believe in that stuff anymore. I know I'm a great person. You're a gift to the world too as well. You know, prosperity, like I said before, you have a windfall coming in. It's just the ideal that I feel like divine timing in situations like this is the ideal. Everybody has this resistance towards any kind of good stuff happening. And when they start letting that resistance down, the good stuff comes in. The solutions come to you. Everything starts happening again. It's like you've built a dam up here because of him and the situation. But you also have to be honest with yourself, too. Do you like him being in the situation where you feel like you're needed? And look at the situation and realize it's in that kind of situation, you could be working against him on finding that strength within himself to realize he's a strong gift to the world too as well. And start realizing that his influence, I've always sat there and said this before too, family and friends can sometimes be really downers because of, I think it's one of those things of where we come from and where they come from, they have those influences on us too. But once we get to a certain part in our lives and we start realizing that there's nothing wrong with us cutting it loose and saying, okay, my dad's not good for me. I need to separate myself from the situation in favor of me. These friends, they must have been acquired when I was going through a fearful time in my life. I don't want to face those fears anymore, so those friends have to go. It's the idea of declaring, I want to be happy. What's that going to entail, being happy? You're going to have to sit there and be really strong and stern about the whole thing. And the idea of finding out, like when I was sitting there focusing on this relationship I've been really working with, where I feel like this is the direction I go into. So I start finding everything. I say, okay, angels and guides, lead me in the right direction. I start acquiring books, information. I start acquiring better friends. I start acquiring solutions. Instead of saying all the quacks out there are bad, I start saying, are all the doctors bad? Angels and guys, can you find somebody for me that I can actually trust? Mm. And behold and behold, something materializes itself. It's not the ideal. It's like your husband is taking him out of the mentality of saying, stop proving everybody is not good for you. Because what you're actually saying to yourself is, I'm not good for the world. And you're just finding all the freaking, just like Bell said, when you got the law of attraction, all he's doing is attracting everything to prove he's worthless. And until he actually changes the perception within himself, he's going to keep attracting the same thing. And you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be helpless because he feels helpless. So someone has to take the the initiative to say, okay, I'll be the strong person. I have to make the decision since he can't, to do something. And I just feel like by you being strong and finding that strength within yourself, that's going to be a very attractive thing to him, that he wants to come stick, because he has the same strength within himself. And when I look at the situation of alcoholics and drinking and that kind of stuff, you know, people want to sit here and say it's a disease, but I want to go deeper than that and realize why people do it in the first place. You know, the solution here is not the idea of put a tag on it. The idea, the solution is why. What's the thing that motivates them to do what they do? Well, I'm tired of this thing about, oh, I'm just doing it. I don't know why I'm doing it. They know exactly why they're doing it. And if you trace it back, it has something to do with divine love. They don't feel like they're worthy of love itself. So therefore, when it does come through alcohol, and we've all known this before with food and other things, that when we don't want to hear the voices of the psychics, when you gorge yourself on anything, the voices stop.
Right.
So it's like, look at the situation. You're psychic and you're very intuitive.
Thank you.
Just look at the situation here on his side of the story, too. Like attracts like. So he has the same gifts as you do. I just feel that very strongly. And he doesn't know how to deal with it. But my thing is, I sit down with him. It's like a little counseling session and go, okay, guys, I want you all to understand one thing out there. I have a different perception. Psychics can't read themselves, because psychic ability is for everybody to hear God's guidance, or angels, or whatever you believe. So when we sit here and look at that situation, and start thinking, oh my God, I can read myself. It's just the idea I've been told for so long that we're not supposed to, or maybe I'm just not worthy of reading myself, because that's you know, I'm doing something for my benefit. You know, we've been taught our gifts are not for our benefit. They're ever for everybody else. We don't realize that if we're not good for ourselves, we're not good for anybody else. And if you sit here and look at the situation in your situation, it's a perfect example. We want to do something. Like I said before, don't get feeling guilty that you're not worthy. I said it's just a perception.
The man that helped me with the Ho'oponopono was Mark Perkins.
Mark Perkins.
That's his name. He helped me once with a session for my mother when my mother was dying, once with a session for myself after that, and then once with a session for my husband. I believe it was three times. Might have only been two, but it feels like it was three. That was his last name. I was looking for it while you were talking. I was listening, but I was searching through my phone and my email trying to find this man's name, because I felt so bad that I would be grateful to someone whose last name I couldn't remember. That's terrible, but I'm a little flustered because today was an interesting day. My son went to Korea. It was the Army, and he was there for a year, and he was not himself. He got all kinds of tattoos, became a smoking, drinking mess. Then when he came back to the States, he came for a home visit, and then they had him on base in Louisiana. While he was there, they prepped him for Afghanistan. That's where he was supposed to be going. And then he attempted suicide, so he was let go 3 months early of his 3 years. He was put in jail just recently because he had too many DUIs. And it's because he wasn't going for the therapy. I had taken him to the, what do they call that, the military, the hospital for the military, what do they call it? The VA hospital.
VA.
I took him three times, and they told him, look, we want to do this, this, and this for you. He didn't want to have any part of it, and so he didn't go anymore. So he's not getting the help he needs, so he was self-medicating. So this disturbed young man was put in jail for having too many drunk driving tickets, and he got out today. So this morning, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I've got my husband calling me. I pick him up. A couple hours later, there's a knock at the door, and it's my son freed from jail. He's here. Then my other son is in the basement. I'm just like, oh my gosh. So one's here, and the other one's here, and the other one's here. They were each on a different level of the house because it's a three-story house. And I was just like, okay.
Wow.
And feeling like, okay, hail, the gang's all here. And we had food, and we had cake, and we had a little bit of good time. And then my son wanted to go home and actually sleep in a bed, you know. The wife took him. And then my husband said, oh, do you want to give me a lift? And I looked at him, and I'm like, oh, you're leaving too? And he gave me a hug, but he didn't kiss me goodbye. Just gave me a hug, and he had that face on like, you know, who am I to be happy and enjoy a celebration? And that made my heart feel bad. I have a letter. It's short. I have a letter from my husband that he wrote me after the first time he ever had treatment. Can I read it? I want you to hear this is who this man is. Hey, honey, I just wanted to let you know that you should send that stuff to my other email address. I don't really look at this email. I don't even know why I checked it tonight. I'm just bored, I guess, feeling kind of distant. And sometimes, even though I feel bad for the things I have said,
I don't quite know the way to put it into words. When I talk, I feel like there's too much pressure for me to say the absolute right things with the right tone behind them. But when I write or type something, anything, I find it easier to convey my feelings and opinions without any kind of discord. I guess it has something to do with the fact that this is more of an impersonal way of communicating and therefore has much less pressure attached to it. I feel like such a prick for how I've treated you lately and how terrible you feel. I have so much that I need to make up to you. I feel as if I will never be able to quite make it up to you, which I know is no reason for me to act out the way that I do, and by no means am I saying that it is. During those times when I get so bent out of shape and disgusting towards you, I lose sense of who I am and who I am talking to. You seem to bring out the best and most loving, joyful feelings from me. Then in turn, I feel so much anger when things aren't going perfect. I don't want you to feel like you have to question my love, and by no means do I want to leave you. I love you so much, and I wish that it was this easy for me to apologize face to face. I mean, right now, you're sitting downstairs, and if I tried to apologize to your face right now, I'd probably wind up going off on a tangent about God knows what in an effort to save my face for exposing my flaws that you already can see very clearly. What I'm trying to say is that I do feel remorse for all the bad and nasty things I've said and for the way I have said them. And I'm sure as soon as you read this, you'll come to me and confront me about them all. I don't want you to fear such confrontations, and I understand why you do. You shouldn't have to live in fear of my episodes, and you deserve better than that. So I know you've been trying to help me to help myself, and you're absolutely right. That's exactly what I have to do. So from now on, I want you to come to me with different reading materials, and I will start reading through and applying everything in the stress and anger packets I received from new perspectives. Aside from that, anything else would be up to you. I love you deeply, Nick. It's obvious. The love is there. The wish for help is there. The acknowledgement is there. He wrote that after the first time he had a break and was inpatient for a few days because he just, and that was like right when, that was his first, I guess, diagnosis of bipolar, when they first found out that there was definitely something brewing and they wanted to put him on antidepressants because they saw that the alcohol was also going to become an issue. Like they said that they could see that that was something that was brewing in there, but they didn't say, oh, he's definitely alcoholic at that point because nothing had really come out to, it wasn't at that extreme, let's just say. So having that letter in my possession makes me feel like, see, this is the man. This is the man. So my heart is with him. And I know that he hurts when he's hurting me, and he hurts for being flawed, as he sees himself, and he doesn't know how to fix it. I mean, like the other day, I said, honey, why don't you just come home? I'm busy. He's busy doing what? He's busy trying not to feel so bad. And he comes home when he's not, and he's here. But then if he starts to feel like that weird, you know, something goes on, and he wants to go before he does something wrong, before he screws up, before he makes a mistake, before he is hurtful, before he yells, you know, before he throws his shoe across the room, whatever. He just wants to stop before anything bad happens, and he thinks that he just can't rein it in and stay that way. And his sister gets really bent. Oh, she said, he did it for 3 years. Why can't he just go home and act right and behave himself? But he feels like he can't right now, and that's why he's not here. So I'm waiting and trying to be supportive and understanding and there for him and love him still. And by God, I'm glad he comes home no less than every 2 weeks because he makes love to only me. What's he supposed to do, have no sex for the rest of forever until his head's straight?
Well, that's a different issue.
And me too. Hello, what about me? You know?
Okay, what I want to do right now is I want to sit there and take everybody, just relax, take a break. I want to sit there and ask Lori and Belle, sit there and talk about the situation of the magazine that she has going on, and I just want to get some information out to everybody else so you can explore this whole thing. But first, I was actually saw a number, it came to me very quickly as a 922, and it was like it was directed towards you. And it says, hold the faith about your divine life mission. That's your destiny. That's what you'd be focusing on. It also says you are qualified to fulfill this mission and are supported in all ways. The more you trust and have faith, the better everything goes. It also filters down the ideal. You need to. It was kind of funny. We were sitting there talking the other day, and you were reading my card about the ideal of separating my personal life and my business life. And I said to her, I've always said this before, too. If you're reading me the message is just not just for me. It's also for you because you're also hearing it.
Yes.
So when you look at the situation that you got going on right now, it's like I feel like sometimes you have a tendency to focus and think about this when you're working. And it's one of those things of separating the whole thing, and of also of any kind of intersecting of his emotions and feelings upon you when he's not in your presence and you are not together, that he has no right to impose those emotions and feelings on you. And the idea of allowing those to be a part of you, too, also keeps you thinking about him when you have so much to do, as in the people who cross your path, who also need your guidance and reassurance, too, as well. And in the process of working, I found this out myself, that in the process of working over and over and over, you don't just help people out there, you're also helping yourself. And if you listen to the advice that you're giving, you also find the answers for your own situations and your own questions. And that's why I keep getting with you. Now, from that point on, I want you to... Once you go do a reading and get back with me later on, and I want to sit here and talk to Belle and Lori and talk about this this situation. But the one thing I told you before is you need to focus on friendship. I actually have the focus and the friendship card together. So it's focus, friendship, okay?
Friendship with my husband? You mean focus on our non-romantic relationship?
No. I'm saying focus on the friendship. The friendship is actually the foundation that was established before anything else had happened with the spiritual connection. It's a friend thing. So the more you focus on the friendship thing, the less he feels responsible to act a certain way within a marriage.
Okay. I got that. So who do I have here? Belle and what was the other lady's name?
Lori.
Lori?
And also,
Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Belle. Lori, are you there? Oh, gosh.
Let me see. I have a lot of gratitude in my heart for anybody that ever opens their mouth to me. I really do.
Okay. Lori. Lori. Belle.
Hello? Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
We're talking to you. We're sitting here saying, she says.
Yes. Someone came in the room, so I muted it, so we didn't interrupt while she was talking, or while you guys were talking.
No, she
sorry about that.
She was just thanking you for your insights and your input, and we were also going to talk about, I was going to see if we could actually get some information out to everybody real quickly before we go into other questions about the magazine.
I'll let Belle speak.
Oh, that's wonderful. Here. Thank you.
I'll let Belle speak. She is the owner and creator.
Can you share it with me in Skype? Because I have to do this private reading. I just got buzzed. You heard me.
Yes. You do
okay.
What you gotta do. I'll let you have it.
All right.
You know what I mean.
Thank you, Donnie.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Belle, go for it.
All right, the name of the magazine is called Belle Esprit, which means beautiful spirit. And we have 28 contributing columnists in the magazine, all of whom are experts in their field. And we cover all aspects of spiritual growth, healing, guidance, divination. We have numerologists, we have astrologists. I mean, the magazine is jam-packed full with something for everybody, even the paranormal. And the beautiful thing is it's a free online magazine.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that whole idea, too. It's a free magazine.
Mm-hmm.
People get some insights and guidance, and it's just the ideal, the situation that... I think we need more of these things going out there to help people out with the situation, because there's so many people saying, I don't know what to do, and... You know, I've actually did a lot of research with the books and stuff I've been reading, too, and, you know, it's one of those things you start seeing certain things about the pattern and things that they emphasize on. But the one thing I was talking about, like, I was working for a random, and what drives me crazy with some of these companies is you can't do nothing with medical or anything like that. And I feel like a message is a message, and if you leave anything out of the message, it kind of really takes the power away from the whole message in the first place. So
true.
With this magazine that you have and everything else like that, it just seems like it fills in the blanks for people.
Well, it does, truly. It certainly does. And it gives them a forum in which they can communicate with people who are freely offering their services, their knowledge, their inspiration. You know, we're very blessed for all of those that are contributing to the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the energy we're putting into those things, too, because we definitely want to help people out. That's the thing. You know, we're giving up our times, and it's one of those things. You sit there and you focus and focus because you want to make sure that the message that you're trying to convey to people is really coming out, because you really want to – I mean, I just feel like that you need to have that really, really take it, go over about 3 or 4 times or whatever you think you should do, because I want people to understand it, because if you don't understand it, you can't utilize it.
And I'll tell you, you know, I'm amazed at the fact that the magazine has only been out 3 weeks. We launched our first issue in January, and
it's only been out 3 weeks, and we've already got nearly 5,000 hits.
Wow.
In just the first 3 weeks. How incredible is that?
What, gained 5 new columnists since then, too?
And well, just in this month, we've added 8 new columnists.
Really?
Just this month, yes.
Wow. I guess I should keep up with the whole thing, but I've been so busy myself. It's like, okay, I go on Facebook all the time. Don't get me wrong. It's just the idea that some of the messages I get about brushing teeth kind of throws the whole thing off for me. But I'm brushing my teeth. I'm going to bed. I'm sitting there going, good riddance. You know.
Oh,
but,
what? That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I see some of these messages on Facebook, and I'm going, are you serious? You just actually put that out in the public forum. And then they whine and cry because somebody called them on it. or their information gets aired, you know, or spread. And I'm like, well, you know, if you don't want stuff known, don't put it on the Internet.
Yeah, we had problems with that, too. I was talking about a particular person I was associated with, and she had said something about me that I didn't see on the Facebook. My sister did. And my sister is very, very, you know, straight-spoken, and she basically told the girl off and said, you know something, this is my brother, whatever you're saying, and all this stuff you're putting out there, I know my brother, and I know you're full of it. So why don't you just stop? And she goes, okay, you don't want anything to do with this person? Then why are you writing on his wall? You know? And I was like, it was on my wall? I didn't know. That's just me. I mean, I have a tendency with the situation. Facebook came about for me, and I actually have 2 accounts on there because of what I do, of just reaching other people and say, okay, you people need help. But that's my opinion. But when I sit here and started looking at the situation of the exposure and stuff, I put on there I'm going to England, and I'm going to go to Arthur Finley College. All of a sudden, people are saying, even my nephew, like, I heard you're going to England. I'm like, how'd you find out? I haven't said nothing to nobody. And I said, oh, I forgot. I put it on Facebook, and sure enough, I'm doing it. And what I'm trying to stress to everybody is, see, I really believe in affirmations and focusing on manifestation that of actually bringing things into reality as the point of putting it out there and say, okay, this is a certainty, so therefore what I wrote is true because I believe it, I see it, and I feel like in our imaginations, which is the imagination is the key to manifestation, and with that kind of thing going on, it's just the idea of focusing the energy in the right direction. So I know for a fact it happens, and if you can imagine it, I've read so much stuff, and I've seen so many things, that I know for a fact that if you can imagine it, it exists. So therefore, if you look at anybody who's been very successful at anything, they will always say, it started off as a thought.
I'm here in North Carolina for that fact, right there. I own a company, I got a truck that I didn't pay for because of that fact. Affirmations do work. In believing, trusting, in letting go, yeah,
all of that.
And the resonation. We started talking about how it resonates with you too. People keep talking about the ideal. I was sitting doing. I said we had it on the show. I also did it on a random where we were talking about focusing on what you want and also following your heart. And one person said, "You can't always follow your heart because we have things to deal with." I said, "I guarantee if you follow your heart, you realize those things you're dealing with. You're full of
its own, though."
That's right. It's a visual. It's an illusion. It's sitting there going, you're thinking. See, you're thinking. You're using your head. You're not following your heart. You're using your head. You got it backwards. Follow your heart, and the head will always follow because the heart knows. So just put it out there. Hello from heaven. God said, hey, you know something? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because when you do, you'll know your neighbor if it's somebody you want to associate with. And if you don't want to associate with him, guess what? You can still love them. You just don't have to deal with them. You see the thing about dealing with things? That's your perception. That's a worldly concept if I've ever heard one. So let's say you look at the spiritual thing, and I know there has to be balance between the two. That's the point of not letting the ego dictate exactly what's going to happen in your life. It's the idea of realizing you follow your heart, and you sit there and say, okay, ego, this is what we're going to do. We're going to work together, your motivation, but I already know what to do. So therefore, you have no power over me. I'm the person who's driving, so therefore, you're my ego. So therefore, you do what I tell you. And the heart says, this is what we're going to do. Because I've heard a couple of people say, I'm following my heart. I'm listening to my angels and guides. And I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And I said, that's the biggest contradiction I've ever heard in my life. Because you're still putting that one thing in and saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. So the idea of saying you're listening to your guides and angels, yes, you are. But are you
following the guidance they give you?
Yeah, are you following the guidance? Because you're sitting there going, well, how come things are still not working? Why is my life still confusing? Because you're still in your head.
Listening.
Yeah, take the energy, bring it back. Take the energy from your head back down to your heart. It's like, use the ideal of working with your solar plex and your heart together and resonate that energy that actually works its way up to your head, your crown chakra. Guess what happens? You know. Right at that moment, living that energy within your heart and your solar plex, what's a solar plex is actually the one in power control, to realize that you've always had that sense of, I know what's going to go on. And then you start realizing, I don't have to control nothing, because everything's going to happen just the way I want it to. Because I've already put it out there, so I can relax and let go, and then my head follows, pops in and go, yeah, you're right. And then what happens when you follow your heart is your head gets spiritually illuminated. So therefore, you just don't feel it. Now you see it. You know it. And you go with it. And people say, well, that sounds too simple. It is simple, because it is that simple. You just have to do it. You know, like milk. Got milk? Oh, no, wrong commercial. Anyway. It's like, just right. Do it. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Nike.
I was thinking in my head, yeah. Is that right? I'm like, yeah, that's not right.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, sorry, guys. I messed up on that. But one thing I want to sit there and say is, yeah, it's a great magazine, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a columnist. I believe it because it's true.
I felt the energy when she first came up with the whole concept. I felt the energy from it and knew it's going to be big. There's a lot of good, insightful information in there that's even – I haven't even had time to read it yet, but I know there's stuff in there that's going to even be good for me to read since I'm still going through my spiritual growth and my journey. And that's what's all about. Bella Spree magazine, which you go to bellaspree.com, which is bellaspritecom.
And yes, caller, people have been asking about you, who you are. And
what is your name, sweetheart?
And your opinions and what you got coming in with your insight.
My name, Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
It's almost like she took a step back going, who, me? Are you serious?
Right.
Yeah,
we're not,
really, both of us, Belle and I both, really like what you had to say tonight. So.
Yeah, just a lot of what she's going through now, I think, I mean, I can relate to a lot of it.
Me too. I've been there.
And it's so crazy. Once you step back, it's like, oh, I can see, like, you know. It's hard in relationships. I mean, not hard, but, you know, it just takes time, I guess.
But yeah, it was like we look at the situation that the girlfriend I had was like fiance was drinking and the drugs and all that kind of stuff and the ideal of their perceptions. And then you start realizing that when you're watching these people, there's reflections that are reflecting back at you about you, what you're doing and how you're contributing to the situation. And I found out so much about abusive relationships in that situation because, you know, I told myself, like Lori said, I'll never put myself in one of those situations. And then all of a sudden, it just...
Find yourself in it, right in the middle of it.
You wake up and the girl's grabbing you by the hair of the head and beating the hell out of you instead of going, whoa, hold up.
I actually found myself selling drugs. But in the selling drugs, I was in very close contact with people who use drugs. And then I actually became aware, like once I had chosen to actually... I mean, it's crazy, like how I even got to doing like that... You know, I looked around like, how did I end up here from a couple years ago? This isn't even me. But I realized my mom was using drugs. But anyway, long story short, they had me go through these classes. Like, I think selling drugs is very addictive. And there's a lot of work that I want
to do. It's like gambling.
Yeah, you know, but they don't.
Yeah.
But the system is set up, but they don't look at it like that. And they beat the person up, you know, and it's like they're not asking, why did you even choose to, like, do this? And people aren't really looking. Why did I even choose to pick this up and try? That's not something people do. You know, it has to be shown to you. You have to seek it out.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, in the drug class, I happened to say one day, I sat there in this class, and I'm listening to everybody, and a lot of it is just kind of self-pity. It's like, kind of, you know, get up and dust yourself off. If you know, I think a lot of times God releases us from certain situations and things like that, or the higher power, however you want to describe that as being. They release us, but we still hold on to it. We put it down and we pick it back up. But anyway, I chose to say in the class one time, I said, I just felt that the people that I was selling drugs to, I felt like if I didn't do it, that they'd get it from somewhere else. And so I kind of looked at it as me getting what I needed, and they got what they needed. And man, after that class, the lady was like, we had to remove you from the class because the people felt like you said that you had drugs and to come to you and get it. And I'm looking at the instructor like, you sat right there and you heard what I said. That's not what I said. But that's how people took it. And it's just like, you know, if they don't see it, if you don't love yourself, no, there is. I mean, the woman from California was speaking about the man's father And I think what he was trying to tell him wasn't that, you know, not to seek out help, son, or anything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, no pill, nobody that anything, unless we accept it and realize it and see it, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. He's got to figure out what's within him that needs to be healed, not just on medication.
Mm-hmm. Medication to me is the ideal, just masking it in the first place.
I was going to say it covers it up.
It's not going to cure anything, because I was sitting when I was in AA and I was listening to all these people talking. They all picked up different habits. I seen people smoking like a freight train.
Right.
And I was like, man, maybe you should take the pills because you might actually live longer. And it was just, you know, sitting observing and looking at the thing. And at first, when I first started going to the thing, it was good. It gave me a place to voice my voice what I was going through at the time, because I said, I am not an alcoholic. And I said, I can't say I'm an alcoholic. I can't say I'm a drug addict. I can't say nothing. But I said, I was in a situation where I felt vulnerable, that I could actually venture down that road. So I felt like it was a good way to go, to actually sit there and get support where I wouldn't go down that road. And like I said before, I left a meeting where I wanted to eat a box of donuts and drink a freaking beer. And I'm like, this ain't helping me. I got to get away from this. The ideal sweets can be addictive. Alcohol can be addictive, and really, realistically, when you look at those two, they're actually the same. Alcohol and donuts, sugar, simple sugar, complex sugars, still sugar. So therefore, we're killing ourselves in some kind of sense of the word, of not wanting to deal with actually what's going on within ourselves. We want to suppress it and bury it. When I sit here and started focusing on her when she's talking about this situation, it's the idea that I don't want to sit there and attack the woman, and it's the idea of trying to bring it out and help her understand that with this situation, which I found out when I was with my ex-fiance, when I took a step back and looked at the situation, I was making the situation worse by not speaking my mind. There was one time I had a chance to call the cops. I didn't do it when I should have. And I seen it from that point on, like a snowball effect of going downhill after that, because I didn't follow through with something that I was with my guidance. And being with her was also a situation was saying where I walked away from listening to my intuition, listening to my angels and guides, and felt like I got this arrogant thing about myself. I can deal with it. I can handle this. I know what to do.
And
then
you
all of a sudden,
and being in the situation I was with, I kind of got lucky because I didn't really get caught for all of the things that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even so that we were caught, the situation, God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have people who I know. I realize, like, I wasn't as, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. I should have got, you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say. But like, anyway,
yes.
So he was able. He took up for a lot of stuff that he didn't even do necessarily. And but anyway, when I was there, and then she was saying something. I think she said something too about he changes for a little bit, and then he run off. It reminded me of jail too, because I'm in there. And I'll see everybody for whatever reasons they're in there for, robbing. It could be drugs. It could be drunk driving, whatever. I'm never going to do this again. And, if only somebody could get me out. And da-da-da-da. I'm never da-da. And then it's like they're out on the street, and it's the same thing. And it's like it wasn't real. It's fake. You could tell me anything, but your action, I can't hear you from what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went to jail, I kept looking and reading in the Bible, and what I kept seeing God is my rock. And it was kind of ironic to me because my boyfriend at the time was named Rocky, and I was placing him above everything, which I didn't view myself as doing at the time. But when I look back, it's like I'm sitting here, jeopardizing my freedom, my everything I love about life has been taken away from me because I was so busy looking at this one person and making sure I did whatever I could do that wasn't even me. Whatever I had to do to shape and bend to try to build and be with him, that's what I did, be with us. And there wasn't... That's where I went wrong at. I shouldn't have did that. It's like you take away part of yourself trying to be with a person, or what you need to be for you guys to succeed. And it's, you know, at the end of the night when you lay down, that's not right. So
that's true. Yeah. No, I just want to do one thing real quick too, everybody. Take a minute here to actually get some information out to everybody about doing private readings. If Belle's still there, if she wanted to give out information and say, hey, give me a call, you're more welcome to do so. You there, Belle?
Hello?
Oh, hello. Yeah, brain this tonight. my name is Belle Salisbury, and my website is bellesalisbury.com.
And just for example, how much do you How much would people have to invest in your readings? try to come up with a nice word to say, you know?
Well, considering that I've been doing readings for almost 38 years, and I am an internationally recognized psychic medium, I've been written about in books, I do have a book, and I am one of the best American psychics. I was rated the top 25 psychics in America. I think I am very affordable. My rates are for a 15-minute reading, $55. A 30-minute reading is $75. A one-hour reading is $125.
Okay. And then also with the situation with the magazine, is that, like you said, the magazine is free?
The magazine is absolutely free.
But
and,
there's also information about
advertising.
Because
we believe that knowledge needs to be shared. And we're at a time in our existence that so many people are seeking. And we realize and recognize that, you know, there aren't enough instructors of spirituality in the world and oftentimes not in our area. So we don't have mentors to turn to. And thank God for the Internet, because now we can collectively bring all these teachers together into one magazine and make that available for free.
Right.
Exactly. And also with the magazine, isn't there also opportunities to advertise in the magazine?
Could you give
information out to?
Right. We offer opportunity for an individual to advertise in our magazine. And I have to say, I know that our rates are extremely, ridiculously affordable. When I was researching the going rate for advertisements in magazines, for an example, just a full-page magazine or a full-page ad inside a magazine, you're looking at anywhere from $1,500 to $8,000. That's for your average mediocre magazine to take out a full-page ad.
Yeah.
In our magazine, a full-page ad is $100. If you want a double page, it's $150. A half-page ad is $50. A quarter page is $25. And a business card is $10.
Yeah, those are fantastic rates. And I mean,
I
actually tried to advertise through Muscle and Fitness, and it was $6,000 a month.
Yes.
Wow.
Cosmopolitan is actually a little bit more reasonable than you think, but it's one of those things that you start doing they give you some rates and stuff, and once you start adding the things up, then it gets up there. And I think
because you have your ad created, and then you're allowed so many words, and over this amount of words, it's this much money, you know. And we like to think that we are extremely affordable. If you don't have an ad that's already made, we do have a graphic design team that will make your ad for you for $50.
And they're fantastic, too. Take my word for it, because they actually did one for me, and it was like, it's like I've given
some
ideas.
You had a special rate because you're a columnist. Each of our columnists in the magazine are given, as an amenity just for their free services, they're given a free half-page ad in our magazine. In addition, they get a free full page on the Bella Spree website. If you click on Meet Our Team and meet our columnists, you'll be able to see a list of all the columnists that are contributing, and each of them have their own full page on the website. But our columnists are given a free half-page ad, and then for you, we charge half price. To create your ad, we charge you half the price. So $25 is what you paid to have your ad created. But the beauty is now you can use that ad anywhere.
And it was fantastic, too, because the situation of the ad I saw the work that went into the whole thing would probably be, me personally, some of the things I've checked out, probably a $200 value.
Yes.
It's one of those things, to look at the things and go, wow, that was incredible, because, yes, I did give them information and gave them some graphics of my own, but it was just what they did with it and everything else I'd never even thought about doing. And then when I saw this thing, I was just like, whoa. So,
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was sitting there going, how it just kind of like, it kind of blends together, and I was just like, oh, that's just lovely. I love it.
Yeah.
And,
so we try
to
make the advertisements very affordable, even for the common person. You know, we don't gear ourselves toward large corporations and larger businesses that it can afford an $8,000 price tag for an advertisement in a magazine. You know, and it's
exactly.
not, you know, it's not spiritual as far as we're concerned. We want this magazine affordable, not just for those that are getting to read it for free, but for those who want to be seen in the magazine as advertisers.
But mm-hmm. my ad's all based on IT services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not, it doesn't have to be just a paranormal, metaphysical, spiritual advertisement. You can advertise Roto-Rooter if you want. You know, it's advertising.
There you go.
Yeah.
Plus, we also want to specify everybody out there who's listening in. We still got like 14 minutes left in the show, so you can still call in. Give us a call at 646-721-9031 and join in the conversation. And if you have some questions, you know, feel free to ask those things too, because I was actually going to ask the people who are in the queue right now if they had any questions they wanted to throw out there that we could actually get some answers to. But I also want to specify everybody, if you're listening in, this is Psychic X Journey Man, and this is Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link. It's like one fifty here, so it's like 10 to 2 here on the East Coast, and we've been sitting here talking and really having a great conversation of really putting these things in here. And I think we've actually got some really good information out where I'm going to say Jen, where I think she has grasped hold of some things that she needs to do. And it's one of those things I think we should all send out some positive energy to her to actually take the next step and follow through with what she needs and she knows that she needs to do. And thank you, Belle, for giving us information about your magazine, because I think it's one of those things too where we're going to sit back there and just see something that's going to be really not just be very successful in all kind of spins, but I think it's going to reach a lot of people that with information that they never knew that was out there and change some things in their own lives and saying, okay, the idea of changing my life, now it's feasible. I know I can do it. It's just the idea of doing that. And I guess that's one thing we're trying to stress tonight is the idea of what was actually going on with the situation with the particular friend I was talking about, Jen. Of what was going on with her, with the situation of finding the answers, I still feel like the simplest answer you could give her is the answers that she's looking for within herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very talented.
That it said earlier was that, you know, you want to ask yourself, what is it? What's lacking in me that is allowing me to settle? You know, love is a beautiful thing. But if it's not being reciprocated both ways in the manner that you feel you deserve, then what is it in you that's allowing you to accept that lack?
Also, with the situation I was thinking too, I was trying to relate to her, is the process of feeding into fear, you can't love. And when you love, you can't fear. They can't
exactly.
be both things that happen at the same time. So what she has to do is sit there and go, how can I face my fear?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, just look at the situation of what's being coming to the surface. Honor it. And like I read this before where it says to send love to your negatives.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting there talking about before saying, okay, you want to prove to yourself that you're a creative being? All of you people don't think you have talent. Well, when you have a negative thought that comes to the surface, use your creativity to change that negative thought into a positive affirmation.
Yeah.
And then you're going to sit there and notice that you are a creative being. Maybe it's in the simplest form. But maybe it's also a tip of the iceberg of who you really are to go deep within yourself. Because I've also seen with the situations of people with financial problems, they're in the world and they're doing it the worldly way of saying, well, I have to have a job. I got to work so many hours a week. I got to make so much money. And that's what they're focusing on. And if you sit there and look at those quotes, what they're not focusing on is themselves. And that's where they're failing. Because what's happening here, anytime you look for love and you're looking for the solutions out there, the reason you're going to fail because it's not out there. It's within you. So
and, you know, do you notice, Donnie, I have just over the last, 6 to 8 months, people's ideas are changing, and the idea of success is changing. So many of my clients are calling me and saying, I'm not happy in my job anymore. I feel
yeah.
like I need to be doing something else. And my first response to them, what is your passion?
Mm-hmm.
What do you really like to do? And I see a lot of people leaving corporate jobs and choosing the job they wanted to be when they were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They're choosing to go less after the high dollar and more into satisfaction and happiness in their job.
Yeah, so success and prosperity and abundance are all having different meanings to these people. And
mm-hmm.
that's where it should be at, because it's the idea of prosperity. People think money. You say abundance, they think money. And then
yep.
they start, well, how come I'm not getting those things? I feel I'm prosperous. Well, maybe
good is the money if you come home dog dead tired and no time for your family, you're irritated, everybody at work makes you mad. What kind of life is that?
Exactly. You're not enjoying yourself, and that's what I was saying before. It's like we sit there and say, make a decoration to yourself right now for the year. Don't have any kind of resolutions out there. Just start thinking about what you really want. And we sit there talking about relationships, too. I was sitting there going, what do you really want in a relationship? And they'll start rattling off these qualifications. They also start talking, and I was sitting there telling this one lady, I said, all I keep hearing about is the guy. My question was, what do you want? Well, he has to be this way and he has to be that way. I said, no, you're not getting it. It's like I'm asking you a question about you. How come you can't focus on you? It seems like you've been focusing so much on out there that the answer is out there. You forgot that you need to focus on yourself. And she's like, oh, I focused on myself this morning for about 10 minutes. I'm good. I'm sitting there going, uh-oh. I said, no, it's a continuous thing throughout the day. Because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I said, think about this. In the process of going throughout your whole day and being grateful for everything, you're focusing on yourself. You're focusing on the now. You're doing so many things just by doing the grateful thing that you don't understand. Plus, it also takes you away from the manifestation and helps you detach from it. Though that's why we have these things that start moving into your life so much that I was trying to emphasize and saying that you're hoping something happens. Oh, it's happening right now, sweetie, because you changed your thinking. It's like the ideals. For example, you're focusing on your soulmate. It's the idea of realizing that it's not the idea of waiting to meet your soulmate. It's to realize you always have been one, and it was just the idea of allowing it to happen and not worrying about the waiting, but savoring the waiting, which is enjoyable, of anticipation that's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. Because in reality, it is going to happen today. So, it was just amazing that you're right. Most of my clients now are talking about relationships in a different way, too. So before, like last year and the year before, I would sit and do my readings, and I would tell people, you need to start working on yourself, focusing on your chakras and that kind of stuff. And people would say, I don't want to hear that bullshit. I'm sitting there going, excuse me? So the lady looked at me, she goes, so am I going to meet someone this year or what? I'm like, no. She was like, what? I said, well, listen to your attitude. You're demanding it, but you're not doing it in the right way. I believe that we have this certain thing where we can sit here and say, demand things in a nice way. Say, by divine right, I demand right now that I be with the person I'm supposed to be with, the person I'm going to marry, those kind of things. But also realize behind that there's work which you have to do on yourself to actually make yourself more magnetizing, because I've always believed that your soulmate, your twin flame, you're connected, but somewhere in the sense of your living your life, that we are subjected to things that kind of takes us away from that, you know? That we start getting influencing and say, well, maybe I should do it this way, since every time I follow my heart, I get myself in trouble, not realizing the reason you think you're getting yourself in trouble is because you're thinking that you are. You're not looking at the situation of saying, okay, I'm stepping out of the box. I don't normally do things like that, so love must be a bad thing. Not realizing, no, love is a good thing because you're changing and you're realizing that there's a direction that you want to go into. At that moment, you were heading in that direction. And then you start thinking about it and you got confused. What should I do? Well, the plan was already made for you. Like this, Belle, we had this thing the other day where I was talking to a lady, and she's Kent called me up, and she's like, I just saw my ex-boyfriend. He's like across the room. What should I do? I said, what makes you think you have to do anything? She goes, well, there he was. I said, did he cross your path? She goes, well, he was in the same room. I said, no, I didn't ask that. I said, did he cross your path? Did you talk to him? She goes, no. I said, are you with somebody right now? I guarantee you're with somebody right now, and you're having the best relationship of your life, right? She goes, yeah. I said, so what did I see him for? It's a thought that manifested something that you were a fear. You know, what happens if my boyfriend shows up? Because I still love him. What it's saying to you is your boyfriend's across
the room. They're rubbing in his nose, honey.
Yeah.
Right.
But just do it in a spiritual way, okay?
I know. But you know what? Here's a myth. We've been raised to believe that it is not okay to be selfish. That's wrong. The myth, it's a myth. The truth is, we have to be selfish with our needs, because if we're not selfish with our needs, who's going to be?
Yeah, our human body and our spiritual body are on the same plane, and they both need attention.
Exactly.
So the human self has needs as much as the spiritual self. But see, when I said to her, but in this situation, when she met this guy, I also told her, I said, this guy's across the room, and he's far away. That's where he should stay. He should stay over there because you're in a great relationship. And why would you question at that moment just because he materialized? I said, I'll tell you like this. Did you get any kind of instructions on what you should do? Because I said, I feel like in the past that when things happened for you, your guidance came and gave you some instructions. Was there any instructions? She said, no. I said, there's nothing to do then. Okay, so if there's no action happening with your guidance and stuff like that, and it's just your fear playing itself out. So maybe you should confront that and then look at who you're with And maybe you're just not being appreciative. You're not appreciating this. It's not the idea. You're not appreciating it.
It was also kind of an affirmation for her to see that she was in a loving and caring and supportive relationship and to be able to be outside the box looking at him and saying, wow, what did I see in him? Or was this really what I wanted?
Exactly. Also, with
so
the
a test, if you will, of, you know, I hate to call it a test. It was an affirmation of recognizing the place she's in right now.
A better place.
I'm just saying with the situation, I asked her flat out, what makes you think you have to do anything? I said, there is a human side that makes us think that, well, okay, we saw this guy. Can we do something about this? No.
And we talk about the spiritual thing to do. The spiritual thing to do is to be kind and just to simply agree him if cross, don't make it a point, but, you know, if the paths cross and you are friendly, you're kind because you're happy. And you greet him and say, it's great to see you.
Also, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, but we're going to continue with the talk we got going. I'm just saying that, say everybody, thank you for being here. And I was also going to throw out some information. I do private readings too as well. So if you want to give me a call at 740-500-8863 or call me on Skype if you want to do a person-to-person. I do palm readings too. Then you can call me at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com, or check me out in Bellesprit's magazine. But I also want to sit here and thank everybody for being here. We've had some great conversations. And if you're still in the queue, just stay right there because we're going to bring you on too. And we're going to talk. If anybody has to go, you're more than welcome to excuse yourself. But with the conversation that's been going on, why would you want to? Anyway. So we're sitting here taking a check out. I was just loving the whole thing where it's just, like with that lady there, I've had a couple of conversations like that with people who say, why do exes appear? They remind you where you don't want to be.
Right.
So look at it that way and say, hey, that guy just reminded me of something that I would not want in my life ever again. And he's clear across the room. Do I really want to go over there? Nothing's prompted me to do so, so therefore don't. I just say like this, if you're guided to do something, then put yourself completely into it. If you're not, then there's nothing to do. Just sit there. I would sit there and sit, put yourself in the situation, the moment that you're having right there, and enjoy yourself. We also have another person who just called, who just jumped in the queue, area code 513. You're on the air with us too, so introduce yourself and love to hear you.
Oh, hi. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, goodness. Hi. I'm Ashley. What's up?
Your name is what?
Ashley.
Another Ashley. Ashley, are you still with us too?
I'm still here.
Okay, we got Ashley and Ashley. We got Belle and Lori. There's somebody else with us, too, isn't there?
Richard.
Sorry, Richard.
That's okay.
What's the thing going
Ashley
on?
Ashley and Ashley. Right.
Ashley, you just joined us. We're having this call. Basically, we're having a round table discussions of a lot of things and just putting a lot of information out there. Belle was talking about her magazine, if you heard. I'm not sure if you heard or not.
Yeah, I've been listening, yeah.
Okay, so we got that going on. Also with the situation, private readings and that kind of stuff. Because I was telling people that I got this little thing going on. I got a special going on until the date came to me to my guidance. It said, keep your rates right where they're at until the 22nd of February. It's a 222. It's the idea of more interjecting energy into a manifestation of all the things that are going on. Because really, this year I've been more busier in the first part of this year, and I've been probably busy in the last part of 2011. Well, not saying I wasn't having a good time. Go ahead.
That's four twos. That's two master numbers right there.
That's true, too. But what I was looking at here is I've been seeing 22s and 26s. So I was sitting there going, let's forget the whole thing and let's take a look at those. And I was sitting there going, for some reason, I was really prompted because I also seen 3 22s. And all of a sudden, one day they told me to go through the book, my angel book, and just start reading every number that had a 22 at the end of it. And it was amazing because it was almost like a progression where you could see.
Donnie, you realize it's 202, right?
It is 202. You're totally right.
Yes, I know. And yes, and last night it was 23 degrees. All of a sudden, like in 2 seconds, it shot to 26. And after I saw the 26 and I looked it up to see what it was, the 26
and
shot back down.
What? I'm 26.
Another 26. Yay. Oh, you know what? You want something else, Lori? Lori and Belle? My friend Jen. Do you want to know how old her husband is?
26.
26.
That's part of her problem. Also,
about him going through, because I went through the same scenario. It's the, something in the age with them trying to grasp on certain things, too. So that may be part of it.
Yeah, sometimes when you get males, when they're 26, they're actually 16. And it kind of the thing where they're still like that. They still have these expectations of what everybody else wants them to do, not realizing that's not what it's all about. You just turned 18, so now it's all about you. And it's like looking at your situation going, okay, my family, I was abused and this kind of stuff. I said, nope, you're 18. You don't have to do that anymore. You can just let it go right there. And they're going, is it that easy? Just the idea of asking the question means it is that easy, and you're questioning it because you've already thought about it. So why don't you go follow through with the thought? So I was sitting there going, okay, let's check out 22. 22 was a good number. Because I was sitting there going, I read it earlier, but I just want to read it again. It says, the angels can see the positive results of your prayers, and they want you to have patience and stay optimistic while the final details are being worked out in heaven. This is an urgent call from the angels to keep the faith. And I've seen this last night after I got done reading some certain affirmations of myself, and even Lori pulled out some cards I thought were interesting, too, in the process of me reading certain affirmations. So I thought that what was going on to me, that I'm on the right path, I'm on the right track. So therefore, it just says the affirmations. It was actually 322 actually emphasizes that the affirmations and the things I'm doing right now are working. So keep going. So I was like, okay, I got that information too. I was just, it was kind of funny when you sit there and say, I'd like to have some confirmation. And all of a sudden, the book drops open and you see like 26 or you see 322, or I'm walking to the gym and I walk by a house that was 322. And I said, today I'm not walking down that street just because I see 322, but I want to walk down a different way. Because I want to make sure it's not just me doing it, making me go up that street because I want to see at 322. So I went down a different street that I've never gone down before. I've gone down that route before. I just never looked at the house numbers. So I started.
Mom did laundry, but I didn't do mine. Sorry, talking over.
No, but I did that. I went down a different street, and guess what? I seen 322 again. So I was like, okay, I got it. But 26 positive affirmations help your situation improve quickly. The angels urge you to only think and speak about your desires and not to affirm your fears, as they are just illusions. So I was sitting here thinking the same thing, which is kind of funny because actually what I was thinking was, I feel very strong and very positive, and I just know by going over these affirmations that they're going to happen. But there was like a little bit of, little tweaky little thought came in, and it seems like when I saw this affirmation, it covers the first part. The last part, it tells me there's just illusions that what you're doing is going in the right direction. Right now it's 206. Yeah. Anyway. And to sit there and say, okay, we need to sit down. And when I was talking to Lori yesterday, while I was sitting there talking about my affirmations, I was sharing with people. I felt like it was a good thing to share my affirmations with everybody else to give them an idea of exactly what they can create themselves in the process of focusing on those affirmations all about themselves. Actually, with the column that I write in Bell's Magazine, this last month I was actually emphasizing on making the list, not the list for your relationship, but the list for yourself, and to sit down and make it all about you, to take all the restrictions and limitations off of it, of other people who have tried to impose and say, well, I think you're like this, you're like your dad, you're like your mom. No, I want you to sit down and focus on you and figure out who
Mom,
you are. Yes?
Sorry, the phone's going to die.
You can pick her on and then put that one off.
But I got her, she's in bed.
But
I'm going to try and find another phone, so I might fall off. So I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, no problem. If you fall off, hopefully that's you. Someone catches you. But anyway, so Ashley, you called in, and I feel like the reason you called in was because you had something you wanted to offer, or maybe you had a question. So go right ahead and tell us all about you. Well, not all about us, but you know.
I'm so not that interesting, but I saw the angel readings, and I do angel readings myself, and it seems that we have completely different decks because mine are not numbered, so I can't go and get mine out and see if I get a 22, so, but that would be cool. But
how long have you been doing this?
Maybe 10 years?
Oh, shoot, a hard question? Oh, 10 years.
I was trying to think how, like, when did I actually start believing that I wasn't just crazy. So
why don't you do us a favor, okay? Maybe you don't have enough time to tell us all about yourself, but I mean, what was the one thing at the time in your life that actually brought you to doing those things?
Mainly just because that I have had so many paranormal quote unquote experiences,
mm-hmm.
and my dreams, I had a lot of dreams around that time start to come true.
Right.
And I thought, am I just, is this just a manifest of my, you know, do I just want to believe this, or is this like really happening? And so I got more into it and more into it.
And you're close too.
I'm sorry?
I said you're very close to me too. Maybe I should rephrase that. what I mean by that is you are a 513 area code at Cincinnati.
Yes. Yes.
I live in Chillicothe, well, Circleville.
Oh, cool.
Ohio. Yeah. So I was just like, wow, man, she's pretty close. And what was I looking for? I was going to look up your number too. I do this from time to time. And Richard, you there?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to look up 513 and 602 while she's telling everybody about her experiences that you do have a very strong connection with your angels, and you're coming to a really strong realization within yourself about a lot of things this year.
Yes, this year in particular. Well, actually, last year was the Great Awakening, I like to call it. I changed pretty much everything in my life, and I kind of for once, just embraced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people can say whatever they want, and I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, I'm right 100% of the time, and you know, and it's like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm
questioning it.
Time machine, and, you know, but I accept that, and I accept mm-hmm. that there's always room to grow, et cetera, et cetera, and I just made a lot of huge changes in my life last year, and I'm hoping to, from those changes, this year is going to be a great year.
Oh, it will be.
I was looking up her number, 513. And 513 says the Ascended Masters and your positive affirmations are transforming your life into wonderful ways.
Got my card. See, sweetheart, I'm on the same journey as you are, and I got that same card today, too. I've been actually getting it all week.
I'm on
my spiritual journey. I mean, I went through a lot of changes in my life to the point where I my whole entire house and moved all in based on faith and follow my instincts and came to North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Read all about it in the magazine because it's life lessons, and I talked all about it. And it's a big life-changing experience, and I'm still going through a lot of transformation, and it's overwhelming sometimes, but I'm getting...
I think that's a good thing because I think that we're constantly going through transformations, but we push against it. It's our natural instinct to push against it. Because we're creatures of habit. But when you just embrace what's coming and just let it flow, it's like you just feel like this weight, this burden has been lifted off of you.
Yeah, get away from the creature and hang on to the spiritual self, I'm telling you.
Yeah, yes.
I was just going to say, I was also looking at 514, where it says, give any questions or concerns about changing your life to the angels, and they will help you feel more clear and confident about your next steps. And steps. So I felt like that was actually another thing that just resonated with me. I had to read for you. And actually, I was like, 602. Anyway. No, I was actually looking up 922. I see 922 real quick, and I was just like, I feel really pulled that one. So I was like looking it up and going, okay, 922. 922 was hold the faith about your divine mission in life. You're qualified to fulfill this mission and are supported in all ways. The more you trust and have faith, the better everything goes. And then we go to 602. 602 says, trust that God is helping you with your daily needs because this is the truth. This is true. It was also 603 I wanted to add to that, too, because I feel like I should. It says, your prayers for help have been heard and answered by God and the Ascended Masters. And whoever you focus on, like if you focus on Jesus or the saints, like your higher self or Holy Spirit, whatever those things are. Because I know in my journal, I actually write certain things. I was writing certain things down. And as I write down like certain things that come to me, I saw this one. It was very powerful. And I wrote that. But also I felt like I needed to start writing things down. So I started writing who I was thankful for. Where I was looking at, I was trying to find that one. I'm almost there. because there was some prayers that I was sitting there looking at some prayers too, because people are always talking about doing this kind of work, and they're always looking for protection because they're fearful that something's going to come in that they won't be able to handle. So there's one actually in here that actually says, Archangel Michael, I ask that you stand by my side and watch over me during, and just put in the blank, your meditations, readings, working with people as you go through your life, ensuring that only God's love and wisdom comes through. Just thank you.
Yeah.
And then there was... what was the other one? Like this one here. God is... I was making sure I'd said it right, too, so I have a tendency to find it first. And say, okay, where are you at? I write so many things in these freaking books in the process of when I'm writing anything, that so much stuff gets in between the first and the last part that wasn't there yesterday. And now it's like when I go back and write things all the time, where I even have a tendency to miss things and go, okay, wrong page, but right affirmation. Okay. Oh, here it is. God is lavish, unfailing abundance, the rich, omnipresent substance of the universe. This all-providing source of infinite prosperity is individualized as me, the reality of me. And I always tell people, too, about affirmations. You know, if you sit here and read an affirmation very quickly and get every word emphasizing on everything that goes in that affirmation, it doesn't matter about the speed. Actually, the speed of confidence actually gets across... goes in the universe just that way too as well. So it doesn't matter the speed. Actually, speed indicates that you're very confident in what you're saying and you believe it. So it actually brings things around very quickly. And then I'll just jump right into it. Like I always have a tendency to emphasize and say, I am the spirit of infinite plenty individualized. I am boundless abundance and radiant expression. I just find certain things just to emphasize and to focus and to keep reaffirming just exactly what I want to happen at this moment. What is expressed in love must be returned in full measure. Therefore, wave after wave of visible money supply flows to me now. Because a lot of people have a hard time of saying, I am a mighty money magnet, and oceans of money engulf me, because they're scared that they're doing something wrong, not realizing the process of actually having money. If you don't like money, it could be the first step of why you don't have any, because you're putting that kind of energy that pushes it away. The more you sit there and say you love something, the more you attract it to you. So it's okay. It's just the idea of not letting it... just like the idea of not focusing on money just for money's sake. And what I mean by that is, if you see people who work from week to week, 40 hours a week, 50 hours, 60 hours a week, and they're always focusing on a certain amount of money, do you ever look at those people in some sense of the word? That's all they're focusing on. And if you notice, they're not making it either. They're still struggling. Because what they're focusing on is for money's sake. They're not sitting there focusing on, you know, as, well, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I feel. This is what I should do. And they don't do that. They sit there and go, no, 40 hours is what I need this week to make $400 to pay all the bills. And then they look at the situation going, I don't have time to do anything for myself. Why don't you? It's your life. Everything you brought into your life at that at any moment, you've manifested in some sense of the word, either intentionally or unintentionally. The law of attraction works 24 hours a day, 24/7. It's just if you're going to make a choice, you're going to do it intentionally or you're just going to wing it. So it's the idea. See, even with that situation, we still have choices. We always did. We always have. I heard this from a Christian the other day, which he's a really nice guy, don't get me wrong. But it's the idea, we're not perfect. Well, you know, I sit here and have a tough time with that because I followed the route. If you look at the Bible, Noah, Moses, and if you notice that even when God wiped out the earth, he always had somebody to carry on. So therefore, we're still connected to Adam in all sense of the word. So therefore, we do come up from a perfect being. It's just our thoughts make us feel inferior and that we're not perfect. And that's the thing to look at. So if we change our perspective, our perceptions on things and look at ourselves as being perfectly healthy or whatever it is, don't be surprised if everything changes in your life and you start accumulating those things and the wants, needs, and desires. You don't have any because they're all fulfilled. And the ideal of certain things, it's okay to sit here and say, I see my bank account continually filled with an all sufficiency to meet every need, with a divine surplus, which means the bills are paid, plus I still have something left over. And I always sit there and emphasize on the thing about going out when you get paid anyway, something small, of doing something for yourself before you do anything. Because most people will sit there, well, you're paying the rent, that's putting a roof over your head. No. I'm saying do something for you. Something that would make you feel at that moment that everything you're doing is worth it, because you're worth it, and that you are a gift to your gift. God put you on this earth for a reason, so therefore contributes to the masses, mass consciousness, as in the sense of we can all feed into this economy bullshit. I swear, the economy's bad. No, it's not. The economy doesn't exist. It's an illusion. And I guarantee you, the more you start seeing life for what it is that what you're going to create, you're going to notice the same thing I noticed. Every time I sit here and focus on the economy and what these people keep telling me, I keep attracting more problems, more situations that just keep attracting more problems. So I sit here and focus on what we want to do today. What do I want to do today? So I went to take a walk. I also sold my television. Anyway, I was just sitting there going, the idea of thankfulness is, look at the situation for what it really is and to sit down one day and just start writing and see what comes out of you. If you catch yourself doing like I do, where it says here, thank you, God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus for all that I am and for all that I have, you're on the right track of thinking that's what it's all about.
That or you ask them to speak to you like I did today. Earlier I got 333, mm-hmm. and then when I was at home and I was speaking to them to let me know, because, feeling a little lonely, whatever, and I'm like, I know I'm not alone, because I know you're there, so just speak to me and help guide
it's
me.
It's party time, yeah.
Next thing I know, I get 444, and then again, there goes 555. I'm like, oh, we're in sequential order now. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, 333,
yeah.
444, and 555. I looked them all up, and I'm like, wow. And it's exactly where I am right now.
I feel like go ahead, sorry. It's just
okay,
a lot of stuff
you keep
oozing
well.
At. No, I'm just saying with the situation and things, when we start focusing on the format of actually looking at mass consciousness, but looking, realize we're part of that too, that the more we're positive, the more we start focusing in that direction, everything else changes too. Because we were sitting there talking about the economy and people were like, well, right now this is, no, don't even go there. We'll have to cut you off the line. And they go, what do you mean by that? I said, because our perception, how we perceive, actually dictates our environment. Not the other way around, because people are thinking, well, if you hereditary disease. But when you sit here and actually do the definition of what disease means the body is not at ease. It's stressed. So stress, if you trace all these elements back, in some sense of the word, you trace it back to stress. And
well, it's amazing what happens to your body when you remove stress out of your life.
Yeah, but the other amazing thing is the stress is self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
We've been on the air for 2 hours and 6 minutes. Anyway, just thought I'd bring it to you. And then I was sitting there looking at this too, which surprised the heck out of me, okay? When I started looking at 602, do you realize in some sense of the word, if you look at it in the mirror, it's 206?
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, if you take the zero out, the zero is just an emphasis of a message from God, okay? Zero, seriously, emphasis, zero is an emphasis of a message from God, the highest thing you can go with. And then we have a 2-6 with it. So I'm just saying, masses. So we look at the situation and go, okay, I say it like this. We've got the signs. We know what we should do. We knew how we should proceed. We've got our confirmation. So let's go back to living our lives. What's going on this moment? Be where you're at. If you're at the freaking soccer game, be at the soccer game. If you're at the library, be at the library. Don't be at the library and then think about the soccer game. Because you're not doing yourself a justice of living the moment. And the ideal people have asked this question, what does it mean to live in the now? It means to realize that this moment, as we're talking and saying something as we are, is the only thing that exists at this minute, at this moment, at this second. So therefore, live it. That's the idea of what it means to live life to the fullest. It doesn't mean go out and get drunk. I'm living life to the fullest. Wow, I fell down the stairs way. No, I spent the rest of 6 months in hospital because I broke my freaking hip. So does that really sound like productive?
Living in the moment to the fullest.
You want to hear a funny story?
Hold on, I actually just fell down the stairs. Should we take a vote? See, we want to take a vote because we really don't want to hear that because it's negative. But go ahead.
No, you said living life to the fullest and falling down the stairs and breaking. Well, last month I fell down a flight of stairs and I broke my eye socket.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Did I actually tell you guys what 602 meant, or did I kind of miss that one?
You said what 602. Was, I think.
No, I told you what I saw. It was a 2-6, and the zero was emphasizing a message from God. But I don't think I've actually read the definition. I was kind of like everywhere else. Let's just read it again anyway. It says, trust that God is helping you with your daily needs because it's true. 603, you actually goes with that too. Your prayers for help have been heard and answered. Yes, I did read this before, but maybe we just need to emphasize on it and say, by God, everything's been heard and answered by God and the Ascended Masters. So therefore, the thing that I tell people when I do readings for them is the idea, the information comes across and says, does it resonate with you? Do you believe it? does it really feel like that's something you should focus on? Then I think we should. I think we should use those as affirmations too, to make sure that we keep it continuously coming in our lives. Because the hardest thing I've found with people in the process of manifestation, that when you start getting, like you say, you're focusing on $1,000 income, and you start getting it, a lot of people have a tendency to stop right there, thinking that was it. They have a hard time asking for more. And what you're actually asking for, if you look at the realism of life, okay, how much do you want to make? You want to make an unlimited amount, where it's a continuous flow coming in your life, because you're going to be here for a while. So are you? So do you?
Inflation.
Right. So, see what I'm saying. The world tells us these things, so we can either focus on the world. If we look at the world, the world's got a 62% divorce rate. They're always falling. They're always failing. They're always looking for something out there. So if you want to do it the world way, you're setting yourself up for failure. But if you want to focus on the spiritual side of actually using these things as more like motivation and leverage to get what you want, they can work hand in hand. We don't sit here and let one emphasize the other. We sit here and look at the situation and say, okay, my perception says, I don't feel like this is right. So therefore, there is no such thing as the economy. Plus, we had a story about Atlanteans who had the same thing going on, but they didn't call it the economy. They called it mass consciousness. And actually, in the process of mass consciousness and using the positive energy that they created, they were actually able to create an energy source that actually was sustaining of itself. So therefore, the society was sustaining of itself. There was no outside external things. And if you actually look, I can't remember the name of them, but there's also a civilization, or what do you want to call them? A country in the Middle East, okay, in the Middle East, that has no, their medical is free, schooling is free, everything's free. All they have to do, I think, is pay for their apartments. That's all they got to do. They said this country is so rich, this will be going on for the next whenever. And they're actually constantly building, they're constantly doing things, construction, that kind of stuff will go on. If you look at the society, it makes our society look stupid because we keep telling everybody, you got to give me money, not realizing that the reason, if you look at everybody in this world, let's go this way. If you look at everybody in the United States, because I haven't been to the world yet, and as soon as I have, I'll have a different opinion, but I'm just saying right now from what I see and what I've experienced, that society right now, if you look at it with insurance and all kind of stuff, it's becoming more of enslaving you than it is liberating you as being a free country. Okay? It's like you have to get insurance. They actually had a thing where it says you don't get insurance, you get fined. You know, it's like the thing about I would like to see what society is to get to that point that we'd stop punishing everybody because they don't go along with the way we want them to. And this goes in a lot of things. I've had a lot of women who call me this week who have this expectation of what their boyfriend or husband should do, which is not having respect. Okay? Seriously. When you sort of look at the situation and go, okay, you've got these expectations of what you think he should do, and but at the same time, you want respect. Why are you not getting respect?
Okay.
Because you're not respecting him. And you're not respecting
yourself.
Well, I was getting there.
Right. I mean, it goes both ways.
I know.
It's like I said, it's red flags that people will send up. If I meet a guy and he's like, oh, you know, I don't like a hoe, this and this and that. It's like, but then when we get alone, you know, that first time together, if he's all trying to get in my pants, it's like, okay, yeah, right.
I told this lady one time, I said, I'd love to get in your pants. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, but I don't think they'd fit. But... yeah, you should have seen her face. Okay. All I'm saying, though, listen to this. Also, this is the thing we was going over too. I was doing some counseling with some ladies, and they noticed one thing, that when they got into a relationship with somebody and they kind of like gave in on something they really didn't want to do, like sex, that they found out that the relationship at that moment was like an alcoholic who starts drinking. He stopped maturing. So whatever age he started drinking at and abusing it, he stopped maturing. So that's why he acts like a 13-year-old. And we started noticing the same thing with relationships, that when people give into the physical part or they jump into the physical part first, the relationship suffers because it doesn't mature anymore. Nobody wants to put anything into it because they think they've reached the point where, well, we've covered everything.
But they don't realize. I was trying to explain that to a friend of mine, and I was telling him, I was like, you know, it might sound horrible, this and this and that. I was like, but I would be more likely to like just push you out of my life after we've had sex. And if there's, I mean, in the relationship, if we've had sex and the relationship ends, I would be more likely to just.
Yeah, it's called the black widow. It's called
yeah,
the black
you know?
Widow concept. And, oh, out, gone. But no, I'm just serious. If people want to have, see, I'm just saying, when I look at the situation, I said, the lady goes, she goes, well, I don't like what it says in the Bible when it says you shouldn't have sex before marriage because I say it's killing a lot of fun. I said, let's look at it this way. Look at it like this. Don't look at it as someone's trying to control you. Look at it as someone's trying to protect you from yourself because of the decisions you're making that you're not listening to your guidance. Okay? So guidance comes in all the time. God's got guys that are going, don't do this. So you say, no. You're not going to tell me what to do. It had nothing to do with telling you what not to do. It's the idea of seeing the future and say, oh, I can see what's going to happen. If you sit there and listen to that one thing, you know what you would save yourself? First of all, when you met the significant other, you wouldn't judge him because you wouldn't have nothing to judge him by. You wouldn't have no baggage. You would not have an emotional hang-ups. You would not be insecure. You would know who you were because you spent all that time finding who, finding you and nurturing that and maturing and knowing that I'm going to make sure I'm ready when that guy comes along or that woman. Because when he does, nothing's going to stand in the way of our success. But what you did was we look at the situation going, let's go have some fun. I'm not saying I haven't done that myself, but I did look back at the situation, those experiences, and realizing that when I met somebody, there was things that were still within me that I was judging that person unintentionally. But if I wouldn't have had those things, I wouldn't have done that. I would have saw this person who came into my life just for who she is at that moment, not because of what someone had done to me in the past. And then we just have more productive lives, and just a lot more things are going on. Because I know for a fact it's the idea of looking at things that could have been, I know everything happens for a reason. I'm just saying if you look at those things as not trying to control you but trying to protect you, then you start seeing a different pattern. And you start realizing, okay, I could have made a better decision. But like I tell everybody else too, just by those realizations, don't get angry with yourself or don't feel guilty. Just realize that we all have a place we want to start to change things in our lives. And that might be the first thing right there. Hey, buddy, I'll pull a card real quick for everybody. Listen up, it says angel therapy. Archangel Raphael, give your cares and worries to the angels and allow us to take your burdens, which means the ideal of affirm it, believe it, feel it, and it's okay, God and angels, it's in your hands. I know I don't really care if it happens or not, because you know why? It's going to happen. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, it's assured, so why should I even think about it from this point on? And just let it go. So, Ashley.
Yeah. Well, which one?
That's a good question. Thanks. Sorry. Okay, since I got the area codes here, I'll sit there and say the one from Cincinnati. We were sitting there talking to you before about your situation. You started reading angel cards and that kind of stuff. What I was actually going to do was I was going to say the idea of actually sitting down sometime and you give me a call, we can actually exchange readings. And just the idea, because I have angel cards too. And
I do the same thing with the...
Yeah, so we just sit there and do the whole thing, go back and forth. But don't worry, man, because I have this bad habit. Sometimes I don't ask questions. I just said, go ahead and do what you got to do, pick up what you got to pick up, and trust yourself, because I guarantee you're going to really walk away from the situation going, I guess I'm better than I thought.
Exactly. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you sit here and look, I actually had a thing where I was working with people on a show trying to say, let's sit back and learn how to ask questions to a psychic in a positive way. Because just the idea of asking a question, will this happen, is a negative thought.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting negative energy out there. So how can you change that to get some answers for what's going on? And it's the idea at that moment of trusting yourself and what you feel, and then asking someone to actually give you some confirmations of what direction you're going in. So therefore, you don't ask the question. You just look at the person and go, okay, there's this person in my life, so and so. What do you think? And just let them pick up what they got to pick up. It's a challenge because I've had people do that to me too. They say, I'm not going to tell you nothing. You need to tell me. So here,
exactly.
Sitting here, taking a rest, I'm relaxing and let it happen. And they think, oh, do you find that offensive? No, I find it challenging. I've actually done that in person. I actually like doing it. I like
hey,
doing
Donnie.
That. Yes?
I'm at Bell's and I have to get offline because she needs to get to bed.
Well, let's tell her good night and thank you for being on the show tonight and thank you for sharing all the information with us. It was fantastic. I'd love to do this again, okay?
You, my pleasure.
And thank you, Bell. I appreciate the opportunities, too, everything.
Bye.
Richard said bye. Ashley hasn't said anything yet, but I'm pretty sure they're thinking this.
Good night.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Lori, too.
No
You're
problem.
Fantastic.
Bye, people.
Bye. So let's get back to our three remaining callers here. We got Ashley, and Richard. Richard, did you have a question you want to ask?
Well,
my wife had 3 seizures today. And for some reason, I think there was more to them than just the seizures.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, one thing. You said that your wife had, and every time you said the word, something interfered with the end of it, so I had no idea what you said.
She had 3 seizures.
Seizures, okay.
And I feel there was something more to them than just the seizures.
So do you feel like there's stress behind these situations?
Almost like she's
imposing a lot of pressure on herself.
Yeah, she is. But I just didn't feel like it was the stress though.
So you're trying to get some insights to the whole thing because you think there's so much more to these seizures than meets the eye that you're trying to get some insights. Almost like you're trying to come up with some information that you think that actually might stop them from happening.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, come on, man. Don't let your fear of what you really want to know just put it out there, because we're not going to have any problems telling you what we think. So.
Right.
Please be totally honest with us, because honestly, when you do this kind of work, you like people being right out there with their thoughts, because it helps both sides of the story. It really does. It helps us know that we're going the right direction, and it also helps you to realize that you're going to get the answers you're looking for, and actually to help the situation or whatever's going on. So put it out there.
Yeah. There was when she was in my arms, it felt like there was something else wrong.
Now, she's having problems with this. She's just seeing him as seizures, right? Or she doesn't want to talk about it.
No, this when we were in Houston, she had 2 seizures. But before that, it had been about 4 years. But then, 2 episodes in the last 4 months?
Oh.
It's one of those situations where you feel like it's one of those things where I just feel like she needs to also. How do we put this? Like, look at the situation. I'm trying to help everybody understand the situation. And I told a friend of mine like this. I was like, if Jesus can raise from the dead, or he can raise Lazarus from the dead, people have kind of look at me like, well, you're making this like smaller than it is. Just sit there and look at a situation and say, I can actually have something very productive in the situation of changing the outcome of these things. And the truth is, you can. It's just the idea of having that belief within yourself and to realize that a lot of things that are happening, because I always feel like if we find the solution to what actually causes them, then the idea, like some people have medication and all that kind of stuff, that stuff doesn't really cure the problem. It's the idea of finding out what causes it. And I'm not talking about medical. I'm talking about everything in our bodies is caused by something. And actually, medical science is catching up. Now they've got it down to where 85% emotional causes physical ailments. So when
can I jump in real quick right here?
Just don't hurt nobody because you fell down the stairs.
What?
I said don't jump too fast because you already fell down the stairs.
Oh.
So, you know, we don't want that to happen again. So you tell us what you think, because I feel like I already felt your opinion. So I was just trying to get mine out so we could get to you, okay? Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Are you done?
No. You're good. You go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I'm so socially awkward sometimes because I never know when to talk. No, I kind of pulled out my deck and I got the I got a sensitivity card. Basically, when I'm pulling it, unlike what you're saying, I'm trying to like actually confirm what you're saying as well. There's something that's going on right now that's causing these. It's completely organic.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I really wanted to say.
Okay.
You're doing a good job.
Well, thank you. You know, I was sitting there looking at the situation very clearly too, and saying that there's a lot of things going on, and it seemed like it's environmental. And it's almost like having a lot to do with herself. And when she said organic, when I feel like when it's organic, it's within. And it seems like there is some kind of imbalance with herself. It's almost like my friend was on earlier when she was talking about the guy she might be with, the guy she is with, is the idea of bipolar. And it's like the idea.
Yeah,
Right, but we got to look at the ideal, what bipolar means. Bipolar means, you know, it's like a duality. So there's an imbalance. And the reason, yeah, and I don't care what science says. They have a lot of things that go along with the whole thing. But I think it's the ideal of finding complex solutions when it could be so simply as there has to be a different way. And when I start to look at the situation, I still see stress. And I still see the idea of bipolar might actually be a misdiagnosis as the idea of just a balance, imbalance within the body. She can actually, and the one thing that came to me too was the idea, this might sound crazy, but I don't think so. It's like yoga and meditation actually has a better way of curing this whole situation than what the doctors are trying to think they should do. So anybody else want to add to that?
Is she on any medications for seizures, Topamax in particular?
Yes, she is.
Okay. She needs to have that adjusted.
That's what I was going to say, too. It seems like she's taking medication that's interfering with each other.
It's the Topamax. I don't know why that came to my mind, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things.
I'm glad that she is actually taking that.
Right. I'm just saying.
So I'm not totally out there.
And if you look at the situation, we're talking about imbalances within the body, and usually when you have two medications interfering with each other, even the idea of certain things that should be taken out of the body because it's causing an imbalance. A lot of people don't realize this with the situation. If you're misdiagnosed as in any kind of thing where they put you on depressants and they mess that whole thing up, and the process of giving you antidepressants actually creates a chemical imbalance because there wasn't one in the first place.
They send you into mania, and then they're going to diagnose you as bipolar.
Exactly. Sometimes we feel like some doctors have a tendency to prescribe medicines to create those imbalances so they can actually justify what they've diagnosed in the first place.
And you're completely right.
One person covering someone's ass. I'm tired of covering people's asses. You know why? Because I always got to go wash my hands. Anyway, on that note, it's just the ideal of realizing that we're not responsible for no one but ourselves. In the process of working with ourselves, we said that I just feel like this is the most important thing to look at people and understand the ideal, how important it is to heal yourself. Because it's actually been said that in the process of healing yourself, so do you heal the world. So see, by you setting a different example for everybody, it sets off a chain reaction. It's like the movie It's a Wonderful Life. You notice when they took Jimmy Stewart out of the picture, he starts realizing the influences that he had over everybody, how happy he made his life with the choices he made. When he thought he was going to kill himself because he thought he was worth more dead than alive, well, when he started seeing things for what they was, he started realizing of all the people's lives that were changed for the better, that by him not being there, and they only had negative choices. Well, I think we all have choice. I'm just saying with the process of the movie and the way it played itself out, to realize that when we do something very positive with ourselves, it affects everything around us and everyone. So we become a different reflection for people to see things. And that's what I was talking about my friend. I feel like the more she makes herself more stronger. And also I would sit here and say embrace who she is. Because it seems in some sense the word is she's... It's like some people have a tendency to put themselves in a position to be weak because they don't want to make the other person feel bad. They don't realize those people are really looking for someone as in a strong shoulder to lean on, not somebody who's crouched in the corner who wants to hang with them. They're looking for the solutions. They're looking for ways out. They're looking for some kind of motivation to get him out of there. They might not want to admit it. And if you sit here and listen to the way he talked, he was always taking himself out of situations because he felt like he wasn't meant to be there. Somebody
is worthy.
Well, I feel like she's also not feeling worthy too because she can't help him.
Yeah.
So it reflects back to her and back to him. So he feels like he's not worthy. So he takes himself out of these little situations. It's like a subconsciously that he sees a reflection he just doesn't want to look at right now because it reflects back to him. Yeah. So we sit there and look at the situation. If she goes within herself and really realize who she is and realize how gifted she is and to put all of her energy into her life purpose, which is what she does for a living, that she's going to realize that. Because a lot of psychics are like that. I don't want to take any money for what I do.
Right.
But the mind hears that and says, well, I guess we're not worthy of any cash. So we sit here and look at the situation. and realize it's just compensation. I mean, I told someone, I take compensation in all kinds of ways, but please don't give me any chickens or pigs. But, you know, so if you guys have like a service or something like that, kind of thing like that, it's great. But, you know, we have no places for chicken and pigs, and I don't like pork anyway, but that's a different thing. But it was like looking at the situations and just saying, hey, you know something? There's nothing wrong with being compensated with a service you give, because it might be the reason you're having financial problems is because you're having a problem with finances, as in conceiving in your mind. It's okay to be well paid. It actually enables you to keep doing what you're doing to do. I was in there looking at some of these affirmations and some of these things, and it says you're very well taken care of as you follow your life purpose. That means everything that goes along with your life. Compensation for home, housing.
Second time I've heard that in a very short amount of time, so.
Well, some of us have a tough time getting there, too, you know. We have that thought about what's going on in situations and say, well, you know, people asking for donations. But I look at people and go, you're still getting paid. You know, you're still asking for a donation. And we've had a debate back and forth where people are asking for a $50 donation. I feel like anytime you specify, you're still asking for compensation. So why don't you just ask for it? That's a person who's scared to ask for what they want. So they're just going to wing it out there, and if someone gives me $50, I'm good. I'm good to go. But I sat there and saw this one where they were talking about the donation thing, right? We also looked at the other side of the coin. I asked for donations for the show, so you have a way of contributing where you want to give, because I always feel like getting readings and stuff, I feel like people have to understand that in the process of investing money to get a reading with me or a session, you're really investing money in yourself.
Because, is anybody else hearing that in the background?
Yes.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy.
Like a child or something?
My son. Yeah.
Who has kids?
It's my son.
Okay, so it's Ashley.
He's asleep.
It was kind of frank because I opened all the mics before we actually got the show going, and all of a sudden I heard this kid going, hello, hello.
Oh, yeah, that was my daughter then.
Okay.
I thought,
we can't acknowledge you just yet.
No, somebody's
still
talking. I'm like, oh, I thought music was just playing. Let me get the
phone. Mine is asleep, so I know it's not her.
So Ashley with the daughter and the son, are you married?
I am actually, but not really.
Okay, you need to explain that one, because everybody.
I got married a couple years ago, and before I could make it back out to Oregon, after conversating with the man I married, he told me that he was cheating, so I never went back out to Oregon, but still married legally. And I didn't really feel hurt by the situation. I mean, I felt hurt. I mean, because I did love him, but I wasn't really surprised by the situation, I guess, because I kind of felt like I was
maybe we should say
running to him. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I should have took it more time.
So you're like angry with yourself, really, and say, okay, I'm disappointed because I felt like this should have been differently than it was because I perceived. And it's like, look at the situation, too. If you perceive that you, the guy that was caring and loving, that perception is not wrong. It's just the actions of a person not wanting to admit it, where he still does other things, as in trying to maintain a, how would you look at that? It's like some people have a tendency to look at things and go, okay, in the process of doing this, what am I giving up? Not realizing you're not giving up anything. You're making a decision in favor of what you want. Why can't people see that?
I can't give them my single life. I can't give my friends. I can't give my family.
Excuse me. What are you giving up? Honestly, what are you giving up? You're not giving up anything, but you are manufacturing a lot of excuses because it's like you do want to be there. Or why would you make an excuse why you can't be there? So there's something within you that wants to be there, but if I make a good excuse that justifies, then I can't be there. Like, so I've had this one, a guy moved on. He's dating some other freaking girl. He thinks by dating some other girl, he's moved on. Okay? So he thinks he's moved on. So therefore, he doesn't deal with the situation, what just unfolded, of not being with a certain particular person. So therefore, he has a tendency to carry on in the next relationship because he hasn't dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he's like, okay, how come I can't have a good relationship? Well, realistically, you don't want one. And he's going to sit there and say, no, I want one, because I sit there and said, I want one. Okay, I don't care what you say on the outside, on your what your mouth is saying. I'm saying you need to go within yourself, because for some reason you don't want to look at that past relationship that didn't go anywhere. Because I guarantee you, if you do, you're going to see some what? You're going to see some answers. But you need to go within – I don't mean go back to the relationship itself. I mean he needs to go within himself and go, okay, why did you walk away from there? Why did you mess around? There's reasons for all these things. That's why I'm saying we should never put any expectations on the whole thing. We should find out what the root of the whole thing is. Why did the person do it? Don't get in the situation and get egotistic and say, well, you hurt me and you messed around on me.
Right.
It's not about you. And you're making it more about you than this situation with this person, when we should be looking at him going, you know something, man? I know you did this for a reason, so why don't you sit there and tell me why you think you felt like you needed to do this? This will help us realize one thing about ourselves, too, because we were with that person. I'm not saying something bad or negative or any kind of judgmental thing. I'm saying we'll find out something about ourselves because of what he did. If he's focusing too much on his fears and issues.
Yeah,
maybe,
I know that
maybe,
was a lot of... I mean,
yeah,
maybe
you're
if
not.
If I didn't feel attacked personally, like, I knew it was a lot he was dealing with, and I could understand why he made the choice. That's what I'm saying. Not that it was okay to make the choice, but that I could understand.
Yeah, but also don't get mad at yourself because you decided to walk away from the situation with a person who wasn't being honest with you, because honestly, until he gets to the point of actually being honest with himself, he really can't have anything good there anyway.
Right.
There's
a lot like with the relationships. I don't even
remember. I'm just saying, one thing I will sit there and say very clear about the relationship that I had this last summer, which I was talking about the affirmations and the stuff I was talking about with the 22s and the 26s, of actually seeing that relationship come back together. But what I do is, I don't worry about what she's doing now. I don't worry about if she's going to get her healing. I don't worry about nothing, because you know why? Our paths have not crossed yet. Do I think about her? Do we connect all the time? Of course. But until that physical connection actually happened with her picking up the phone and calling me and saying, this is what I want, that's when I worry about it, or I sit there and listen. But in the process of someone reaching out, I had some readings before where people were saying, this woman wants you to call her. I said, just because you're picking up that she wants me to call her doesn't mean you fall into that whole thing. You also need to listen to your own guidance and say, okay, what should I do? Guess what? It said don't. It said do not. It said that the situation there's things that happen in variable situations where everybody has an individual issues of their own situations, just like this. You can look at it, two people splitting up. You can look at one person running away from it. But each one of these relationships are all individuals, so they all have to be treated that way. So you can listen to mine. I'm just saying the one thing I follow in the situation is like, okay, should I proceed forward with this? Should I keep focusing on the affirmations? And then I start getting the 22s, the 222s, the 322s, and keep saying your affirmations and your prayers are – I've already been answered. So you just keep going forward, and your affirmations are working, so you keep doing that, keep going forward. But on the same token, they say you ask for answers and you don't get any. It might even be telling you that you don't need any answers because you already know what's going to happen. And
that's where I am right now in my life.
I thought you was on the phone somewhere else. Anyway.
So I'm asking for the answers, and you had mentioned earlier that you – we're asking for a confirmation, this and that. So I've been praying. I actually prayed with a friend of mine about what I should do, how I should proceed. And kind of just, I know there's a reason I called. I mean, like I said, everything happens for a reason. How my mom gave me your number, actually, right before I called tonight. I'm usually up at night anyway, but. Anyway, back to it. So I've been praying and kind of seeking out direction and guidance. And then I kind of started feeling kind of guilty for, like.
Mm-hmm.
Demanding the answer, kind of, you know, so I'm like...
Yeah.
And then you guys were talking about the medication stuff with the... like, I smoke marijuana, but I could feel like I've yet to quit. I keep saying I'm going to quit, and I've drawn this
if there's
out
any cops
for,
out there, she said banana. She didn't say anything.
You know what
anyway.
I mean?
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, I could feel...
You got a card.
I mean, because I don't...
You got a card, Ashley?
I feel my need for it changing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe you don't know what I mean, but I could feel.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
I could feel it like not being. I mean, it wasn't like okay, I want it. I could feel like a change in where okay, I need this to, and it wasn't it's not like enough. Mm-hmm. So I look at it like, okay, I'm using this as a crutch, not as.
Oh, I used to get so irritated with that whole stuff. Because my ex-fiance, I used to smoke that stuff, and I remember I was working for the carnival, and I would take any kind of extra money I would get, I would spend it on her and her kids. But I always noticed that when she got an extra $20, it went for a freaking bag. And I was there going, I said, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, not even to get into that part of it, you know. And it's like you could always be doing so much better with it. And
yeah, she'd always sit there and say, I got to pay the bills. I got to pay this bill. I'm sitting there going, yeah, I know what that bill is. It's called self-preservation, okay? So don't give me that crap. But Ashley, you said you had a car. Did you say you had a car?
No.
Did Ashley, did someone say they had a card for somebody?
Oh.
I heard someone say card. Maybe
look,
I was
Ashley.
Wrong. No. The Ashley was talking, so I figured it was you that said that you might have a card for her. Because I heard someone say, I have a card. Or maybe someone was intuitively saying something to me.
Oh, I was asking. I've been wondering if I could get a card from actually both of you guys, since you both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did pull a card for her. I didn't say I did, but maybe you just picked it up.
I heard you say that, so I tell people all the time, with the mind, the way it works, you don't have to physically say it. I heard it, because
right.
I was in her going, Ashley said she had a card.
I did. I pulled a card for her, and basically saying you need to notice the recurring physical and emotional feelings that you're having with these guys. You need to take care of yourself. You need to stop. It's the clairsentience type thing. You need to stop.
I like this.
You need to stop trying to dull your emotions and dull your feelings, because they're there for a reason. Pay attention to them.
Yeah, I'm always saying honor your feelings, but don't let them make decisions for you. Just honor those feelings.
You need to honor yourself, but in order to do that, you need to listen to what you're saying as well. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword in a way. Because it's not always pretty, it's not always fun, but it's the only way to get past what you need to do. If you can't do that with yourself, then how can you learn and be free with someone else? You know.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Yeah, because I was going to say the card I have for you is the idea of what relationships are about. A lot of people have this freaking stigmatism about, I don't want to get married because it's like I'm trapped or I'm this or then that. That's your perception, but that's not what marriage is. Marriage is just the idea.
Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, why do you feel that way? Because I was sitting there saying, this is what marriage to me is. I was sitting there telling people, I said, you go and you meet somebody and you create this relationship. And I said, then you get married. A lot of guys think that's it. And the reason the women get so mad is because it's not it. That's the beginning of another chapter in your life, as the relationship going to a different level. But we have to sit here and look at the situation. If say people have certain perceptions, I think that's why we need to really work on the communication of saying, well, this is my perception of what I think marriage is all about. Because a lot of men, I've actually talked to some men who sit here and say, well, their assumptions is this woman needs this, this, and this, and this. I look at the woman, I said, did you tell him this? And they go, no. That's just what he perceived. So see, the breakdown of communication could have actually helped that relationship of actually being able to communicate and say, okay, instead of just assuming he knows, and he's assuming that he does know, that he needs some kind of different information to be put in there to say, okay, this way. Because I told my ex-fiance that. I said, she would do things. And from what I'd been through, I would perceive her as being a mean or she's being vindictive or something like that. And she said, I'm not. I said, then tell me what you're doing. So therefore, next time I have that information in my head, so I'll see it differently. But right now, you're not giving me that. You're just getting mad at me, you're like, I'm shutting down. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to talk to you. And it's like, okay, if we don't sit here and talk about the whole thing, then it's never going to work. And in the idea of looking for solutions, I can't go anywhere else to find the answers because she's got them of why I perceive things that way. I know why I did. But I also wanted to know what she was doing, too, at the same time, where she would actually give me information and say, okay, when I do this, I'm not being mean. I just maybe they made a different decision. I don't feel comfortable with it or something. But it was just always like getting angry. And then two people both getting angry. But it was the idea of lack of information somewhere in between where it would have really helped the situation. In some sense of the word on those things. I mean, it was one of those things you finally find out at the end of the whole thing that a person really is not capable of actually giving because they're too much of dealing with their own addictions. And I guess it's the duality thing. There's selfishness and then there's selfishness of people looking and say, I can't deal with you. Some people will sit there and say, I can't deal with this. They walk away. Other people say, I can't deal with it. just have a beer, take drugs, that kind of stuff. And then they want everybody to deal with them, even with the situation. And it's like I tell everybody else, if a person walks away from you, heads out that freaking door, honestly, you shouldn't think about it anymore. Until that person comes back and is willing to sit down and actually even discuss or work or something, there's nothing you can do. But you should, well, there is one thing you can do is look at yourself at that moment. Because you got
the time. That's
the
only thing you can control.
Yeah, you look at yourself and go, okay, he walked out she or he walked out the freaking door. Why? What did I do? You have to ask that question. And we actually had this on the show, and I don't know if we have time to even go over this because we're chicken down here, even though we're recording. Yeah, we only got 35 seconds. Anyway, guys, I was sitting here looking at Ashley. And
which Ashley?
The one at 513. If you wanted to call me after the show, we could sit down and discuss things, if you don't mind calling me after the show. And then the rest of you guys, we're going to be back on at Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9